Hello.
Hey. What's going on?
Not much. What's up?
It's been a while.
It has.
Yeah, and then you're going on a vacation soon.
Yes, this is the month of Geek Brunch where we're never all together.
Yeah. But at least we have enough people to still have the show.
I don't know. Micah seems to be able to have the show by himself. So.
Oh, yeah. He's done that before.
And welcome to Geek Brunch.
Yes. What episode are we on?
I don't know.
I missed the last couple.
150-something or another.
Okay. We're in the triple digits somewhere.
You figure anyone listening to this knows what episode it is, so it doesn't really matter if we don't know.
That's right.
I
hadn't seen your icon there for a while. You know, this big bird, what is that about?
Do I have that?
Yeah, what is that? It's a wooden bird?
That's the phoenix.
That doesn't look very like a phoenix that I know.
It's a phoenix from the manga series Phoenix figure. By Tezuka.
That figures why I don't know what the fuck it is.
It's manga related, so that's the one outside of the Tezuka Museum in Japan.
Oh, so you were there, or you just took a picture of it?
I just grabbed the picture off the internet. I've never been to Japan before. Maybe someday.
Someday.
It'd be nice to get to know someone who lives in Japan.
Yeah, Micah wants to go there.
That's right. I have to wait till he gets over there.
Yeah, and then you can go visit him.
He could take me on a tour.
That's right.
He just needs to graduate.
He could take his homework with him.
He needs to take some classes over there or something.
Yeah. He wants to get a job over there. He could be a translator.
I think that's what he wants to do, isn't it?
Something like that. At one point... At the con several years ago, he mentioned it, but I don't know if he's pursuing it or not.
See, he's young. He can still change his mind about things.
Yeah, not like us old farts.
We're locked in.
Locked in.
Not quite locked in. Pretty locked in.
Yeah. Until they lay us off, and then we have to decide what we want to do with their life.
That's the one thing, like, working at a company for a long time, you get into a weird situation where it's like you're, even if you're, like, not completely happy, you're, like, comfortable and stuck at the place, kind of.
Yeah, because you're vested.
Yeah, you're vested in your, like, retirement plans, and your income is to a level where it's going to be hard to get it someplace else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It, like, gotcha. Like, to go somewhere else, you might have to take a pay cut. Which, I guess if you're laid off, then...
You'd have to probably do that anyway.
Yeah, and then...
And then you just read comics for a while.
In the interim?
Yeah. So what have you been up to? I didn't get to listen to the last Geek Brunch. It sounds like it was full of mice, but... I gotta listen to that.
A lot of mice. What have I been up to? Nothing major.
Ah.
Nothing major. The usual business. We're going to, like you said, we're going to Florida for the kids' spring break. Going to my mom's place down there. But this is the first year that we're driving rather than flying, so.
Oh, the family truckster.
Yep. We're gonna load in the minivan. I was gonna say the RV, and head down there. Yeah, we've never done it before. We've managed to, well, in previous year, we've been doing it for, gosh, how many years now? I don't know, maybe Well, since my daughter was a baby, so at least seven, this is probably her seventh or eighth year.
Well, that's a good family thing. You get to see cousins and brothers and sisters and...
Yeah, well, only my mom lives down there, but usually we go down there with at least one of my brothers and or sisters, so we usually see, have a group that goes down. But it was good when the kids were little, because I think up to two they're free if they sit on your lap. So for a while there, we were only paying for two seats and then three seats, but now we're up to four seats. And the last couple of years it was okay, but this year... price-wise, it was just...
Can't you lie and say there's still...
He's two.
He's just gross spurt.
So we're going to try the drive and see how it goes.
Yeah, those are fun. We used to always do those. We never flew anywhere when I was a kid. It was like getting there and getting the vehicle with the Apache... tied to the car and go for a ride.
Yeah, we used to, well, I grew up in Canada by Toronto, and my family was from this area, so from Chicago area. So we would come in every summer. So we would do, and we never flew, we always did the drive. Well, we had four kids, so no one in their right minds flying four kids. Well, no one with a regular income is flying four kids.
Were you a Canadian citizen or no?
No, I was a, I was born in America, so.
Oh. What were you doing there?
It was a work thing. My dad, for his work, they opened an office up in Toronto, so he went up to open the office. I think it was one of those things where he went up to open it and was supposed to stay there a few years until it got up and running, but ended up staying for 13 years.
Did you like it there?
Yeah, but I had nothing to compare it to. No, that makes it sound like it's a bad place. No, yeah, I love Canada, and I love that area, especially by Toronto. I went back there a couple times, like earlier on, like after we first moved here, but I haven't been back there in over 10 years now. It's a beautiful city. I really like it.
Hmm.
Like to maybe one day head up for the Toronto comic book convention's gotten really big, so.
Yeah, there's an excuse to go.
I know, that's why I go places. Is there a comic book convention?
Yeah, okay. Comics there.
Gives me.
Hawaiian Comic Con. Gotta look that up.
The problem with that is, I don't know how many how many names go there, or how many people go there, creators wise. That's one nice thing about going to ones in different parts of the country is you get people from the area the con is in that don't travel to other cons. So.
Yeah.
So I'd like to one day go to a West Coast convention just because there's people who seem to go to those conventions and not other places.
It's worth going to San Diego once, but man, it's become so stressful that it's not worth it for me.
Yeah, there's the ad in some of the recent comics for the Anaheim, I think it's the Anaheim one.
Yeah,
Looks like they get a lot of big people, too.
Well, now they moved WonderCon to Anaheim, too.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, WonderCon.
They have an Anaheim one, though, later in the year, I think. But they have a lot of people there, too.
One day I'd like to see Sergio.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
And his world-famous quick draw.
So you going to Heroes or what?
Planning on it.
Will that be your only con besides the C2E2 thing?
I'll do C2E2, which is coming up. And I may or may not go to the Chicago Comic Con. Which is, I'll probably go to it. It's so close by.
Yeah, why not? You're famous, so gotta show your face.
That's right, I gotta make an appearance, I guess. Expecting me.
Yeah, you gotta sign those boobies. Never know.
I do like the one nice thing about I think it's still Wizard World Chicago show is that's where you get all the dealer. They got tons and tons of dealer booths there. And you get a lot of good deals.
That's nice to have a Comic-Con where you're local, because then you don't have to pay for shipping and kind of take away everything that...
Yeah, eat up all the savings.
Yeah, yeah. Like, our con experience has changed a lot from, like, when I first went to cons to what I do now, because it seems like we just hang out most of the time. I don't spend as much. Whereas before, I used to buy all kinds of stuff and then pay a fortune to ship it.
Yeah. I know at the local ones, I do more. Like at Wizard World last year, there was a 10 cent, actually the last couple of years, there was a 10 cent, I think it was a 10 cent booth, or not a 10 cent booth, a booth that had 10 cent bins like under the table. Had a lot of really good stuff too. So I load up there. But yeah, going to a one out of town, yeah, it's... I'll usually just get stuff from creators themselves, mostly like independent guys who are just selling their stuff just to support them. But
that's
as for
you, it seems
grabbing
like
a bunch
what
of
you like though, Bill.
It is what I like. I also like deals though.
It seems like you don't spend most of your time though in mainstream.
No.
You dip your toe in and then you pull it right out.
That's not entirely true, but yeah, I mostly get indie stuff these days, actually for a while.
So what you been reading?
What have I been reading? Some comic books. Man, I read some Image. Man, Image is like cranking out the good stuff these days.
Yeah, I've been staying away kind of from the number ones, but I did try one. I wonder if we both read it.
Maybe I'll start with those. I'm organizing. I actually stuck my pile of comics beside me this week. So let's see. Image, I read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Image books. We'll start with the ones you read. I read No Place Like Home, number one.
Hey, that's the one I read.
Hey!
hit it the first time.
I knew it was one of these two. So this is kind of a retelling of the Wizard of Oz.
Is it really? I thought it was, like, totally different.
Well, it is totally different, but I guess it's not really a retelling. It's kind of a... Well, what would you call it, then? Inspired by...
Influenced by. In other words, it's influencing the plot, but it's definitely got its own thing happening.
Yeah,
because
it takes
with this town, right? I mean,
it takes place in Emeraldsville, Kansas, and on the first, and it starts with a twister comes to town, and I don't remember what their names are. The old couple, Donald and Linda, so they change the names, I guess, go down to the basement to avoid it. And then the main character is, instead of Dorothy, it's Dee. And she comes back to town, right? I don't remember where she was.
California. She was in California.
Okay. And she comes back
to town. She was meeting actors and stuff, like Bruce Willis and stuff.
Yeah, she was off to become an actress, right? Is that what she was doing?
Yeah, and sleeping with a bunch of guys.
Yeah, so it's been 5 years, and now she's come back to this little podunk town. Because, Yeah, so she's back in town. And then there's some big mystery, right?
Well, she's back in town for a reason. I hope you're not missing that key thing.
No, I didn't know if I should say it or not.
Yeah, this is a spoiler. Fuck it.
Okay. Well, it's at the very beginning, so. Yeah, so the old people in the home, I guess it takes place in the first couple pages. They get caught by the twister, end up dying, and those are her parents.
At least we think.
She comes back for their funeral, her supposed parents. Then there's a crazy guy who is talking about a conspiracy and it's coming to get them all. I tell them to leave, get out of town. Then I don't remember what happens after that.
No, There's something going on with the local townspeople. They're hiding some secret. They were all in a photo together.
Oh, that's right. There's something like a photo from the 40s.
Right, the 50s, the bum, the alcoholic guy, his brother died, and that's why he believes there's a conspiracy. And he's telling the three girls that are hanging out just to leave, to get out of there.
Right.
And nobody believes him. But you know there's something going on, like the sheriff and stuff. They're suppressing stuff. And the one thing is when the tornado hits, it's not the tornado that kills these old people. There's somebody standing there because the guy's there with his shotgun against the wall with his wife, and he's saying, "You!" Like he sees somebody there.
Right.
And, I liked it. And I really don't care for the genre. Like, I tried that, the Wicked West one, the Legends of Oz or something like that.
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, this is better. Well, this is definitely, like you said, not trying to retell the story in any way, shape, or form. It's just kind of using that as a loose inspiration almost. So, yeah, and you reminded me. So in the old picture from the 40s or 50s, it has, like, her parents and the bum guy and his brother and I think other people in the town. And they're talking about how the bum guy went crazy, right? The supposed, I don't know if he's homeless or if he just looks, he's the town crazy.
And drunk. It looks like he's always drinking. Smells.
So it was good. It was interesting. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I liked the artwork.
Yeah, I did too. I wasn't sure if you'd like it.
Why?
I don't know, because it's, some of the art you like lately is not as realistic, I guess.
Oh, I think this is too realistic.
Well, it's anatomically correct.
I like anatomically correct. I just don't like it when it looks like it's traced.
I found it interesting that two of the girls still live there, and they look nothing like a small town girl. They look like they're punk rockers or something.
Yeah, the one girl's got the sides of her head shaved, and she's wearing like a bra with like a mesh see-through top over it.
Yeah. Kind of like you used to wear when you were a punker, right?
I didn't wear the bra. I just wore the
the mesh.
The mesh see-through shirt. The black mesh.
And the leather pants.
So that was good. And I think the creators are new to the comic world. Angelo Tirado and Richard Jordan. And I got the... Apparently one of them's friends with Ian Churchill.
Yeah, because they gave him a lot of credit in the inside here.
Yeah, he did the variant cover, and then they thanked him. I think they even mentioned, thanks to my friend Ian Churchill for doing a... And I think I got the Ian Churchill cover.
What did you get? Does it have both covers in the comic? I got the one, I think the main cover, where it just has the tornado in the background and she's got a shotgun and her dog in her bag.
Yeah, that's the one I got.
Is that a Churchill cover? It's hard to tell because Churchill's art form has changed dramatically.
I think so. Well, it's definitely not the interior artist.
Yeah, that's true.
So it must be the...
I'll have to look that up. Because Churchill's art... This does look like old Churchill's art, not like Marine Man, right?
No, it doesn't look anything like Marine Man. I know, he's weird that he has like two distinct styles.
Mm-hmm. This looks like when he was doing his coven with Rob Liefeld or whatever the heck it was for Awesome Comics or something.
I don't even know that book. Was it extreme?
It was awesome. That was
awesome.
Yeah. Rob Liefeld's been through the ringer, never finishes anything. I was hesitant to jump into this. As a matter of fact, I read it right before the podcast because me and Bob Breitel from the comic page are not seeing eye to eye lately on things. And he really liked it. So I wasn't sure.
It didn't blow me away, but I thought it was definitely solid work.
I just thought it was a good storyline, and it left me wanting to know what's the secret, you know? Yeah. What are these guys hiding? They know something's going on. That cop, the sheriff, he knows something.
The secrets of a small town.
Yeah.
So I read another Image book. I'm surprised you didn't get this one, or maybe you didn't, just didn't read it. Thief of Thieves.
I did get that, but I haven't read it.
Robert Kirkman and Nick Spencer. This is about the Thief of Thieves, about this guy who's like the best thief in the world. He's the expert thief. And it starts out with him like pulling a heist, and then it jumps back to the past. Because in the present, when he's pulling this heist, you meet him and his associate, this woman, and then it jumps back to where he first met her. And then it sets up his. She brings this new job to him in the present, and tries to get him involved in it. So. They kind of set up this big heist that they're going to pull. So he meets like the other people on the team and gets pulled into this, or they start talking about this project they're going to do, this big heist. I liked it. I thought it was very interesting, and I liked the art. It was Martin Burrow, whoever that is. What's the name? Sean Martin Burrow.
Which one are you going to... Which one did you like more?
Which one did I like more? Hey, I just noticed in one of these panels, it looks like Robert Kirkman in the background.
The bearded guy?
I bet you it is. Maybe Nick Spencer, too. I don't really know what he looks like offhand. Robert Kirkman, yeah, bearded guy. Big bearded guy. I don't know. I like them both. They're both good.
Are you going to wait for trade on them?
Oh, yeah. But I did like that. I also read... So another Image book, Glory, number 23.
Oh, I read that, too.
I really like this one. I like this one better than the other two.
I didn't.
But I'm a sucker for Ross Campbell art, so...
You like watching girls that hang out in bathrooms.
That's right. There wasn't very much bathroom in this one, though.
You just sounded a little disappointed. I'm going to have to revisit that at some point because I have 4 volumes of it and I haven't read it.
How'd you get up to 4 volumes?
I don't know. That was when I was buying everything without ever checking it out. Now I'm at least reading. Like I read No Place Like Home because I was like... I heard Bob talk about it, and I said, man, I really don't like The Wizard of Oz. Like, I bought it sight unseen, right, just because of some of the pictures they showed in previews. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, the art looks nice. I think I'm going to try it. And I didn't pay attention if it was a Wizard of Oz spinoff, and I heard Wizard of Oz, and I was like, I didn't like that too much.
So you don't like the movie?
I think it's okay. It wasn't one of those things as a kid where I was like, Wizard of Oz, woo!
You're crazy. That's all I have to say. But, you know, whenever they play off of something like that, it could be good or it could be really horrible. And most of the time it's horrible.
So the Glory thing you liked a lot.
I did. So this is one of the reboots of Liefeld's Extreme comics. So this is Glory 23, but it's the first of the new run by written by Joe Keating and art by Ross Campbell. So first off, the art I thought was great. I thought it's probably some of the best Ross Campbell art I've seen. I think he really knocked it out of the park on this one.
Has he ever done any art in color?
Has he done art in color? That's a good question. Let me think. Shadow Eyes, I can't remember if Shadow Eyes is in color or not. If it is, it's not in many colors. I don't know if he's done a full color book before. Offhand, I can't think of anything. So he's done stuff where there's been color in it, but just like when they have like black, white, and a couple, maybe one or two other, like another color. Because Abandoned was black, white, and red. I think Baby had one other color.
Is that the did he draw that girl with a mohawk or whatever that you have on the comic book page as your avatar?
Yeah, that's the Abandoned.
Okay.
That was his zombie book. That was his zombie book that came out through Tokyo Pop that was supposed to be three volumes, but only one ever came out. And then that's when Tokyo Pop, that came out, volume one of that came out, and volume one of King City came out, and then Tokyo Pop canceled them all. Hope we see that again, though, because that was a good book. Zombies. Ross Campbell Zombies. So this one is not zombies. It starts off by telling the history of Glory, the superhero Glory, and then jumps to the present when there's a young girl. Well, not a young girl. I guess how old was she? A college girl? Something like that. Who is a big fan of Glory and is looking for her, so she's on a search for her, trying to find her, to find out what happened to her, because she like disappeared, right? I don't remember what the explanation was for her disappearance.
Well, she's kind of like Rob Liefeld's Wonder Woman. He like mimicked everybody, like Supreme is Superman.
Yeah, Glory is Wonder Woman. So this is kind of a retelling, and I don't really think it's based on any... I don't know how much of the past Glory it's based on, if any.
That's why I think it was a mistake. Because... Mistake. Not a mistake, a mistake to not renumber it in number one. Because some people are going to see, oh, that's Glory 23, and they're not going to jump on board, even though it's definitely a starting point, right? I mean,
right. You
didn't even read anything before, and you were able to follow the story.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why they made that decision either. Yeah, it should have just been number one.
And the whole creative philosophy for his relaunches is totally different. You know? He's like having a lot of indie creators writing these things.
Yeah, he's got... So I know he's starting up at least... Well, he has Glory, Prophet...
Bloodstrike, Youngblood... Supreme.
Yeah. Bloodstrike is being done by what's his face? The Hack Slash guy, right?
Yeah.
Tim Seeley. Prophet is not Prophet. What was the last one?
Supreme is Eric Larson.
Yeah, Supreme is Eric Larson.
Somebody else, right? I think somebody else is writing it.
Well, he's using Alan Moore.
Oh, that's right. But and then somebody's plotting it, but they're using his overall plot or script.
Yeah, they're using his outlines or whatever that he had. Because I guess the original series was supposed to continue on, but it stopped. But they still had his original, the outline, or I'm not sure how much of what he had originally done. So they used that, and they're going to continue it. And is Eric Larson just doing the art or is he writing it as well?
I thought he was doing the art only. I'm looking forward to that one the most just because I really like Eric Larson. So
yeah, me too.
And I am trying Youngblood, even though I've never really, really, really liked it. And then when I did like it, I think it was Miller, like Mark Miller, that was writing it. And he only wrote like two issues and then they canceled it. So.
Yeah, I have a weird relationship with Youngblood as well. I think it's because when it first came out, it was like this big thing for us.
It was huge because it was like I had to have 12 copies and I don't know why.
But it was. It was just like this massive thing. And Youngblood was, oh, man, this new team. The new, you know, it was like being there when X-Men number one came out.
Yeah, Bad Rock and Riptide. And I was like, what the hell? And the plot, I mean, it wasn't really plot heavy. It was just like action oriented.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of fight scenes strung together.
Shaft.
So now, yeah, and I don't remember. I'm sure. When was that solicited?
They were solicited, but they're only launching one at a time. Like, I think the next one they launch is going to be Bloodstrike. And then after Bloodstrike, Supreme. And then after Supreme, Youngblood.
So is Youngblood solicited this month?
Yeah. You could in the latest previews, there's some preview pages. They don't look all that great, but...
Who's doing that? Do you happen to have it?
Don't happen to have it. I just remember I was my bathroom book and I read the preview page. And I was like, this doesn't... The art style is very Liefeld-ish, but...
Yeah, yeah, I did notice that. I remember that.
It's not necessarily him. Like, I think whoever is doing him is less anatomically correct than Liefeld.
It's Youngblood 71.
Yeah.
See, now that kind of makes sense. I would continue that one, I think.
I wouldn't.
Really?
Because you've had so many different people speak on him.
So... Was there a 69, or is he just adding, or like a 70, or is he just like adding up all the versions that came out before this?
I think he's adding up all the versions that came up.
Because there's been like, this is like volume 6 or who knows. Story by John McLaughlin. Yeah, John McLaughlin. Woo! Art by John Malin and Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, I'm kind of mixed on Rob Liefeld now. I mean, I still like him as a creator. I like his enthusiasm, but I don't know, man. What he did to Hawk and Dove, I didn't. I don't know if it's because things are changing in my life and what I'm liking is a lot different. With the exception of the Kirby stuff, I've always liked that stuff, but my tastes are changing.
So, is it that, or is it that Hawk and Dove is just different than... So you think what's being done in Hawk and Dove is something that you would have liked in the past?
Well, I think... I don't know if it's all his fault, because he did one where he wrote it and drew it, and it was better than... when he was not writing it. You know what I mean? At least I thought it was. His art style, I used to like a lot. But now that things have changed a little bit, it annoys me a little bit. Because even though The Infinite, I really like The Infinite. Robert Kirkman was writing it with Rob Liefeld. And I really, really, really liked it. I mean, I was on board until they decided
to. Then it split. Died.
Yeah.
Bastards.
But it's the fact that his facial expressions for men and women, it's like, even though he's redrawing it, he can't change the age.
The same face on everyone.
Yeah, he can't show age. He can't show youth. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, even in the Hawk and Dove, he drew Robin. Robin is 10 freaking years old. You know, he's like 10 to 12 years old. He's a tiny little guy, Damien. And he looked like like a 25-year-old man. So I was like, fucking, it is distracting me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like I read Evangeline, which is also from his line, if you will, except it was launched way before all these prophets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that art style is nothing like his, and I like it. I like it a lot.
Who's bringing that one out?
Mark Poulton is the writer, and an Italian name, Gianni or Genie. I follow him on Twitter. I don't remember his name. His name is Owen, I think his first name, but I can just say @ on Twitter and his name will come up, I'm sure. But I like that book. Owen Gini. Very animated style of artwork.
Is that through Image Proper or is it like Top Cow or something?
It's through Image Proper.
Okay.
Liefeld does the covers. He must have
I'm not sure why.
Mark Poulton, because Mark Poulton, he does, he's scripting Hawkman for him. Because they recently gave him a bunch of DC work.
Rob?
Yeah. He's got three books. He's doing a bunch writing of them. Three. Or no, he's, sorry. He's drawing one and scripting the other two. Deathstroke, Hawkman, and one other. Oh, Grifter. But, yeah, I tried Glory just that. I didn't originally buy the hard copy. I had just downloaded it and tried it out. I didn't hate it. I gave it a 3 out of 5, which means I like it. I just didn't like it enough to pick it up. But the art style that you really, really like, his art style, and to me it's okay.
Yeah. So. I'm sure that's what pushed it over the top for me.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it has to be the art because the plot is pretty. I mean, it's okay plot, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, it was good. It was good. I thought it was well written, but
groundbreaking.
right.
It's got some cool ties to the like the Nazis and stuff in the past, and but yeah. So I take it you give that one a thumbs up too.
Yep, I do.
Is that one you're going to keep monthly? Because it's
I'll get that monthly. Mostly, I get monthly ones mostly based on creators.
He's not writing it, is he?
No, Joe Keating is writing it.
Joe Keating. What has he done? Do you know?
He did something called, I think, Hell Yeah for Image.
Oh, yeah, that just came out.
I'm not sure what else he's done. Yeah, right. I haven't got that. That'll be in my next box. I'm not sure what he's done besides that. I'm not really familiar with him. I also read Conan the Barbarian #1 from Dark Horse.
What'd you think of that?
I'm trying to remember. It was a while ago when I read it. I think I liked it.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah. I liked the art. I think I liked the art more than I liked the writing. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked it. It was good.
I liked it. I like Becky Cloonan, so I thought it was good. A lot of people didn't like her, like Bob Breetal. he likes Conan, but didn't like Becky Cloonan on Conan.
He doesn't like the young Conan, is that it?
No, I don't think he didn't like her interpretation of Conan. He reads the books, and he reads the comics, so he's got a good experience with, you know, Conan. He knows his Conan, whereas for me, Conan, I dip my toe in every now and then.
Right.
But I'd rather read Red Sonja. Not just because she's in Chain Mesh, but I find her a lot more interesting. More dimensions, I don't know. And she has the same legacy as Conan, because Conan started as kind of like a barbarian and then worked his way to king, right? And so did she, worked her way to queen. So, like, my favorite Red Sonja is Queen Sonja. I like that one much better than the Red Sonja book. But I'd rather read that than Conan, but Conan's cool. I like, it's off to a good start.
Which movie would you rather see?
Oh, I'd rather see the Arnold Schwarzenegger. It was Bridget Nielsen as Red Sonja.
Yeah. I think it wasn't Schwarzenegger in that one.
Yeah, he was in it for some parts.
So is Red Sonja, I don't know a lot about her history. Were there books? Is she originally like from pulp books or?
Oh, she came from the same creator, I believe. What is his name? Barb's shouting Arthur Conan Doyle. Robert E. Howard.
Yeah, that's it.
Robert E. Howard, like, killed himself.
I was trying to say that, but I must have been muted.
That's how I always know. Yeah.
Not really.
I was muted. I was shouting out, and you weren't listening to me. Robert E. Howard.
Yeah. Well, I haven't read any of that stuff.
I haven't read any books, but I've watched a lot of movies, and I've read a lot of the comics. So.
Yeah. I'm like you with Conan. I've read some here and there. You know, I still have not read but I own the Barry Windsor Smith Conan, a couple of those books they brought out, collections. I have to read those since I'm a big...
Yeah, the Marvel versions?
I got I think Dark Horse reprinted them.
I wouldn't mind reading some old Conan. That'd be interesting. I want to read, but you know, I'll never get to it. Do you know what I mean?
Of course, it's hard to get to the old stuff when the new stuff, they just keep bringing new stuff out.
Well, yeah, when you get so much monthlies, I mean, I'm pretty happy with the way I'm reading now, because like I'm all caught up on DC. I mean, except for maybe the latest weeks, but I've read everything. Marvel, I'm pretty much caught up in what I'm reading, which isn't much anymore. I've cut a lot of Marvel. And then my indie books, I'm not all caught up, but I'm freaking enjoying the hell out of them. So I haven't like read a lot of indies and said, oh, I don't like it, I'm going to stop it.
Mm-hmm. You've been more selective.
But if you get a chance, read American Virgin, man. Just get the first trade if you want to try something very, very interesting.
Yeah, I need to try that out sometime.
You know the premise of it?
About vampires.
No.
Oh, wait, American Virgin? Is that what he said? Oh, American Virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have all of those.
Oh, you see, you read it. The religious
thing. I've read some of them. I haven't. That's one that I would pick up at conventions, like from the quarter bins and things. So it took me a while to get the full run, but I have a full run now. So I have to go through it.
That's a book that you could kill in one weekend. I mean, like one sitting, because it's so good. It'll suck you in.
I think there were 23 issues or something like that.
Yeah, it's not that much. I think it's only like two trades, but
I love vampire stories, so it should be great.
There's no vampires. You're thinking of American Vampire. Not the Virgin. There's no virgin vampires. They're always fucking, man.
That's my next book. Well, I think Twilight, isn't that American Virgin Vampires?
I don't think they're virgins. She's pregnant in Twilight, right?
Spoilers.
Well, I just saw the fucking preview. What are you talking about?
American Virgin Vampires. That's my next book.
Oh, fuck. I saw a preview yesterday. And do you remember when we were talking about your next movie plot?
Yeah.
They fucking stole my idea. It's like the insane asylum in space. I'm like, fucking name.
Really? Man. That's our idea.
God bastard. Damn it. It's not quite an insane asylum, but it looks like an insane asylum. It's violent criminals in space. But they're crazy fuckers. I told you they should have went with that, man. That would.
I think they still had the jump on me on that one, though, if they're bringing it out already. Should have worked faster. Damn it!
Yeah, because nobody heard our conversation except for me and you.
I think we mentioned on the show before.
Oh, did we?
But probably like 6 months ago, so I doubt someone
listened and
heard it, wrote the movie, and made the movie.
Starring Guy Pearce.
6 months. What's that called?
I don't remember. It's like Lockdown or Lockout or something like that. Lockdown or Lockout. Prison in Space.
Now, wasn't...
We could still make it. Just tweak it to an insane asylum.
Insane Asylum's completely different than...
Yeah.
Now, on Battlestar Galactica, didn't they have a...
They had a ship that was a prison.
Yeah, prison ship.
So, you said there were 5 images, and you only mentioned 3.
So the other ones were Prophet. Oh yeah, I missed those. I jumped. A Dark Horse slipped into my image pile. I read Prophet, 21 and 22. So this is another in the I'm crazy for the Extreme Studios.
Rob Liefeld. Woo-hoo-hoo!
He's getting all my money. Rob, the man. Hey, I'm impressed by some of the creators. So this is by another one of my favorite creators, written by Brandon Graham, who did King City. Which King City, the trade just came out, I think, a couple weeks ago. So everyone should pick that up.
Do you think I would like that? Honestly,
let me think.
It's a fucking cat as a weapon. Come on.
Yeah, it's a cat as a weapon. That's cool. I don't know, because it's sci-fi, kind of indie sci-fi, but it might be too manga-ish for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a manga, but it's definitely manga-influenced. It might be one that you'd want to check out before you... You bought it.
Isn't he bringing his style to Prophet too, or is he just drawing it?
He's just writing it. So the art is by Simon Roy, who did Jan's Atomic Heart, I think it was called. Which was a trade that came out a couple of years ago. So this is a... Yeah, obviously another continuation of one of Liefeld's books. And Prophet is someone I don't think I ever read a Prophet. Back when it was originally coming out.
You didn't get into the hype that when Stephen Platt was like the next Todd McFarlane?
Oh yeah, I do have some. I don't know if I ever read them though.
He did The Prophet.
I must have read them. That's right. I think I must. Let me pull up. I got to pull up my list.
Because
now.
It was in like every Wizard at the time. Do you know what I mean? It was like the Wizard top 10 artist or something like that.
I forgot that Splat was doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Platt. Splat.
Splat, Platt.
Prophet. Oh, I got a bunch of Prophets.
See, there you go.
I have.
I've never read Prophet before. Yes, you have.
Yeah, I apparently love Prophet.
I have every issue.
I have an almost complete run. I have issues from volume 1, volume 2, and volume 3.
Wow.
I'm like a hardcore Prophet fan.
And you didn't even know it. I don't know what that says, but...
I know, I for sure I haven't read all of those.
Those are dollar bin selections? Or?
Yeah, I'm missing.
You had to have gotten the profit, though. The plat ones, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure I got the plat ones. Oh, yeah. Profit's awesome.
You can download Profit Number 1 for free on Comixology.
Awesome. I'll have to do that.
Yeah, so...
There or I could just...
Not the number 21 that you read, unfortunately.
Which what volume?
The first volume, yeah.
I don't have volume 1, number 1.
But you can't go wrong for free, right? I mean...
Well, you can, but...
No, because you can stop at any time and then...
That's right, delete.
Delete, yeah.
So this version of Prophet, and I don't remember how it relates to the other version of Prophet, since I either have not read it or read it so long ago that I don't even remember that I read it. This one, it starts out with Prophet coming out of the ground on this planet in this ship, where he's apparently been in stasis for a while. And I can't remember if it's Earth or not. Let me flip through it here. I don't remember if it's Earth or not. But anyway, it's a planet. Was the old Prophet on Earth, or was he on another planet?
I don't remember it, much like you don't remember. I remember he was some kind of biblical dude. Like, they were trying to make it, like, related to religion, but that's all I remember.
Yeah, this one doesn't mention religion at all, so I don't know if they've dropped that or if it's more subtle. So in this one, so he gets out on this planet, and the first issue, he's regaining his senses, basically. He's trying to figure out this new world. If it is Earth, it's an Earth that's changed. Like, he must have been gone for a long time, because there's new creatures on the planet, and all signs of humanity have been, I guess, destroyed, or he hasn't found any yet. He's finding all these weird creatures, and he finds human technology. So I guess it is Earth, or at least a planet that humans made it to and inhabited. But it looks like they're now not on the planet anymore. So he finds other aliens using things that were created by humans. Like, he can tell, he recognizes some of the machines they're using, but obviously they're not humans using them. And then he explores this world, and he goes under the world, and it's basically him dealing with this new planet. And it's interesting that it goes really in depth into the aliens and their technology, or lack of technology, and how they operate. So it's really interesting from that perspective. The overall story, I'm not really sure where exactly it's going, because even in the second issue, it's more of him exploring, and then him kind of invading this. He finds these aliens who are kind of have a caravan that's going across the land, and he notices that one of the machines is human technology. So it's his goal to basically infiltrate and take that machine, because he needs something to. He's having a hard time surviving on this planet, so it's interesting, but I'm not really sure where exactly it's going yet, what the end goal is for him.
But you're going to continue with it because of the creator, right?
You got it. No, it's good. I'm enjoying it. It's just...
Well, sometimes you don't have to understand it to enjoy it. Right?
Yeah.
I read Dr. Sleepless. I don't fucking know what's going on. And I love that book. It'll never finish, but...
I'm still have my fingers crossed that they'll bring out that final.
I got sucked into the world. I mean, it's like a city of anarchy, and you got this one DJ or whatever that broadcasts himself over. And there's lots of weird shit, and I like it.
Yeah, that's the Avatar. It was Avatar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Warren Ellis book that. That was an interesting one, because it was going and then it stopped. They solicited a couple issues that never came out, so I know that I think they exist because they solicited them. or at least in some form they exist, but it just kind of
disappeared. Well, do you remember back when Warren Ellis was doing Dr. Sleepless and he was doing another book for Wildstorm? I forget what it was called. I heard that his hard drive crashed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and he lost a lot of stuff.
During that time, he lost a lot of his scripts or something like that. And then he's like, fuck it. You know, I don't know if he wanted to come back.
I don't want
to
do it again.
But I put work into it. And it's weird with Warren Ellis because, like, Warren Ellis, I could get sucked into all these stories as long as it's not superheroes. Because, like, I just read his Secret Avengers and I thought it was terrible.
I read one issue, the first one. I think it was the first Warren Ellis one. It was, it was not good.
I don't understand how he could write so fucking good, like, when it's his own stuff, or, like, when he has control over it, mm-hmm. and then take somebody else's property and just not
care.
Yeah, because he's done that with the Justice League, he's done it with other stuff, and I'm like, this sucks. So, like, when I see him coming on a book, I mean, the only reason I went with Secret Avengers is because I was enjoying the title, but if I wasn't going to wait for the new creative team and being the completist that I am, I would have dropped it because his done-in-one stories in that book sucked. I really hated him.
How many did he have?
So it was about six issues.
Okay.
And I've read them all. I just didn't get a damn thing out of them. And I was enjoying the title up until that point.
Yeah, I only read the one, but I definitely...
And that was through three creative teams. And now they have a fourth, so...
They had different artists on each one, right?
Yeah. Sure. And there was a couple of artists that I did like on the book. But you could have good art and a bad story, and it's hard... Whereas you could have the invert and the art will grow on me. It's weird.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I can... If something's well written and the art's decent, then I'm okay with it. It has to be pretty bad art. If it's a good story, it would have to be really crappy art for me to not like it.
Yeah, I'm...
I'll forgive it.
Yeah, that's the way it is with me. Like, I could... In some cases, I have read something that I really get into the story and I'm not liking the art. Mm-hmm. And by the time the story's done or when I get into it, I start liking the art. So art can grow on me where a story can't.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it can. I have an example of that, but I'll talk about that later.
But there has to be something. Yeah, I'm the same way. It can be amazing art, but if there's nothing like keeping me reading it, it's like, I mean, I could look at the pictures, I guess, but then it's like, I don't know. That's not why I read comic books. I could just get an art book if I wanted to just look at pictures.
Yeah, and I am so bad. Well, I read in mass. Like, I'll sit and read like 25 books in one sitting, and like especially on the weekends. And I don't notice a lot of the detail. Like, some people say, "Did you see that in the artwork?" And I'm like, "No, where did that come from?"
There was artwork?
I don't remember that. I don't remember those kids were blind. What are you talking about?
Good old blind kids.
Do you have any more Image?
No, I have some DCs.
Ah.
Have you heard of DC?
I have.
Detective Comics.
Ah, which one?
Actually, I didn't read Detective Comics. Isn't that what DC stands for?
Yes.
I read Batman. I got caught up on Batman.
Oh, so you're reading the Owls.
The Owls. It's all about owls killing Batman.
What do you think?
I liked it.
Cool.
The art is like crazy amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I like the fact that his style is not like Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's changed a little bit. And I especially like the art in the last issue. I don't know if you've read that one yet, but I think
was six.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read which one?
Or was it seven? I can't remember. There's sevens out now. Maybe it was six. I think seven's just started, so it must have been six.
Yeah.
That was the one where he kind of is escaping from the owls, or he fought all those little owl things.
Yeah. I also liked in, was it 5, where he was, because he gets, it's about Batman getting captured by these owls, and he gets thrown in this maze, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what's going on. And then in issue 5, he like goes crazy with the artwork goes crazy.
Oh, that's shit. Yeah, he has that one panel where you have to kind of turn, like.
Well, yeah, because the panels, they're like regular panels, and then they switch to landscape, and then they flip upside down.
He does that, I think, to depict that he's delirious, because he drank the water, and that water's got shit in it, and he knows it's got shit in it, but he has to drink something because he's dehydrated.
Yeah, he's not going to die otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then he starts hallucinating, and the pages go all crazy. It was cool. It was fun. And the story is... I thought the... Did that end the story? I thought the ending of the story was kind of anticlimactic, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's over.
No, I know it's not.
I think it's over like, yet. Here's an arc, right? But it doesn't, like, totally end.
Right, it didn't conclude the storyline. It just concluded that arc of the story.
That's funny. I don't have number 6. Oh, yeah, I do. No, I don't. I don't have it in my pile in front of me, but I know I read it.
Yeah. Well, you're caught up, so.
Yeah, I just have piles here of books I need to bag and board. And they're not always in order.
I also read issues 5 and 6 of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Ah, that's a good series.
Yeah. Which I liked 6 better than 5. I didn't really care for that much. That's the one where there. Did you read that one yet?
I don't know if I read 6, but I think I read 5.
5 was the one where they were showing like the past, the samurais in the past.
No, I think the latest one I must have read was 4 then, because that's when they went and got Michelangelo or Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
They went to rescue him, and he kind of like merged back in with the turtles.
Right. Yeah, I think that was the.
And then there was a Casey issue too, where he teamed up with Casey again. Mm-hmm. Or was that number 5 or 6? I don't know. I lost track of my Ninja Turtles because I got so into G.I. Joe. So.
And then I got a couple trades, but I'm gonna let you go, and then I'll come back to the trades.
Okay. Did you get that Vertigo Preview 2012 in your?
I did, but I have not read it yet.
They were all good.
That's where they preview the new 4 Vertigo books that are coming out.
The one that I liked the most, and I don't know if it's just because of the genre and the supernatural, but I like that Dominique Leveaux Voodoo Child by Selwyn Safu-Hines and Dennis Cohen did the art. That's the one I liked the most. And I'm really behind in Fables, but I read the Fairest, and that one seems pretty interesting. And I read
Who's writing the Fairest?
Willingham.
Okay.
And Phil Jimenez, so the art is really tight. I mean, he's got, you know, the George Perez type style art. But these are nice previews, because especially for the artwork, because you could see if you like the art and stuff. And then you got Saucer Country from Paul Cornell with art by Ryan Kelly. And we both like Ryan Kelly because we've read some of his stuff. What is the other one? The New Dead Wardians by Dan Abnett and I.N.G. Culbert.
Mm-hmm.
That one's interesting. It's zombies. It's basically vampires and zombie type things. Kind of like an iZombie where they all coexist and they're all different levels of starvation and stuff, I think.
Okay.
But that one seems interesting. In other words, I liked them all, but by far I think the one that I'm going to stick with is Dominique Leveaux Voodoo Child. And if you're a customer of DCBS, you could get all 4 number 1s, number 2s, and I think number 3s for all 4 for the price of 1. So, you know, $2.99 for all 4. You can't go wrong.
Yep, I ordered the first ones. Actually, I ordered the first ones and I ordered the second ones.
I'd order them if I didn't even like them, because you can't go wrong for fur.
Okay. I actually ordered the second ones accidentally. I wonder why. So for some reason I thought Saga?
Yeah, the Image book.
I thought that was one of the Vertigo books.
And K. Vaughn and Fiona Staples.
Yeah, I was like, well, I'm getting that already, so I might as well just get the rest of them.
Ah.
So I ordered it. But then later I was like, oh, shit, that's not Vertigo. So I had to add that onto my order.
So that was really good. And then I got onto a G.I. Joe kick, and it's weird because...
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
So I'm not caught up on Fables either. Do you know, are they writing Ferris so that it's independent of what's going on in Fables?
It seemed that way from the previews. Like, I just jumped right on and read these, I think it was like 6 pages of... You definitely should read what... If you're not going to continue getting them all, like, I would think if, you know, the deal's not good enough and you don't want to buy all 4 for $2.99, definitely look at the previews and see which ones that you like. Because I'm sure there's one you're going to like, but...
I'm sure I'll like them all, probably. I still like the Vertigo stuff.
Yeah, they're all good. The artwork's really good. The artwork is really good in all of the books. Like, there wasn't any one of the books where... I mean, I thought it was... I mean, Dennis Cohen on this book, he was drawing awesome. And I've always liked the voodoo stuff, so I'm looking forward to that. And then I got on this G.I. Joe kick, and the only reason it's weird because it's the book that I canceled... The one G.I. Joe book I quit, I like the most. And it's weird how how this little tirade of burning through about 15 issues of G.I. Joe this weekend, A Real American Hero, came about. Because I ordered the annual. And you're like, why the fuck would you order the annual if you're not reading the regular series? But the reason I ordered the annual was because I like the artwork. It was the same artist that did some Spider-Girl stuff. You know how I got stuck in the Spider-Girl world? It was Trimp, and I can't remember the artist that did Spider-Girl, but I love the art, and I got sucked into the story and started... I said, oh, I have 3 G.I. Joe books here before I canceled it, and I got sucked into this story by Larry Hama. He is really good in the fact that it has a very retro feel. So if you're into retro, you're going to be like, oh shit, this is kind of awesome. But he's got an amazing knack. And maybe it's because I read them all. Maybe if I read just one issue, I would have said, I'll drop it again. But because I read all of them and I saw these plot lines and things develop, like, he'll introduce, like, new plot threads in every issue, and you never know where he's going. And I've never seen him handle, I mean, he handles such a wide variety. I mean, G.I. Joe has, like, thousands of characters. And he intertwines all these characters into all these plot threads. Some of them don't even have anything to do with each other. And some of the threads are okay, and some of them are great, and some of them are mediocre, but they're all... As a whole, they read really well. And so I got sucked back into the Real American Hero so much that I went to the comic shop and bought all of the ones I was missing, except for 2 of them. And I read those digitally because luckily Comixology, you know, that's one thing that's nice about Comixology is I couldn't find those 2, and without having to go order them and wait a couple weeks to get them, I was able to download them and just finish the story right away in one sitting, which is cool.
Yeah.
I like that. So, yeah, The Real American Hero, I really, really like what's going on. And now I see what Keith has been telling me, because Keith gets into these stories, and I don't always understand what he's talking about. But
season.
But hell, this was awesome. I mean, I enjoyed the hell out of it. Like, in this storyline, we saw a lot happening. We got Lady J got shot up and almost died, and then Billy, who's the son of the Cobra Commander, he ended up dying. And it's crazy in G.I. Joe because the bad guys are always fighting the bad guys too. You know what I mean? They have conflicting agendas. So you'll have like the Baroness fighting with Cobra Commander and Destro, you know, all these characters fighting with each other. It's just a crazy plot thread.
How many G.I. Joe books are there?
There's four, and I'm almost caught up in all of them. So I read A Real American Hero. I read every single one, got caught up to date, and so much that I'm even contemplating getting the old stuff because I just don't know where I'm going to find the time to read it. You know, it's one like of those things.
The old Marvel stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Because this continued. Like, these were issues one, I think I read 160 to 176.
Mm-hmm.
And this continued from the Marvel series.
Okay.
Yeah. And the same writer, too, Larry Hama.
Right.
So that stuff sucked me in. And then I was like, I made the mistake of reading some Marvel books after that because sometimes you're in the mood for something and you're not in the mood for something else.
Mm-hmm.
So I read some Amazing Spider-Man that tied in with Daredevil, and I think I would have liked it more if I wasn't so much in the G.I. Joe frame of mind. But I read the Daredevil crossover with Spider-Man, and that Black Cat is a slut, man. She's she like manipulates Matt Murdock at the end of it. It's funny because Spider-Man just broke up with his girlfriend, who was, you know, like a crime scenes investigator, because they're having issues, and Mark Waid portrays him like he's all horny, like, and is trying to hit up on Black Cat at the beginning, like, let's get it on, let's go, because they've had relations in the past, and Black Cat's very sexual, and the fact that she loves having sex with Peter, but not as Peter. I think he has to even leave his mask on half the time. She likes having sex with Spider-Man. But when he's Peter, she's like, fuck that. No interest. But, yeah, she's got an alternative motive with Matt Murdock, but Matt's getting sucked in. So we'll see how that... That ended in a weird note because it was a two-part series and she was in the sack with him. And you never know. It never says, like, continued in the next issue. Maybe it might be. But she's after an artifact that he got from the Fantastic Four, and that's really what her motive is for sleeping with him. So, but I've always thought the Black Cat was sexy. And I don't know if you're reading Orchid still.
No, I'm going to get the trade.
It is the shit, man. It's getting better and better. I'm getting sucked into this weird world.
Now, you're not that impressed by the first issue, right?
I was on the fence, and yeah. I stuck with it. Okay. And it's one of those ones that I think every issue is growing on me more and more. Like, I'm getting sucked into this world. And I think what I'm liking about this world is it's post-apocalyptic, and it's like nothing I've seen before.
Hmm.
Like, it's... There's some weird-ass shit that goes on in here. Like, there's this one guy. I don't want to get into the story because I'll ruin it, but he hates people, like, but mm-hmm. he loves animals. Like, you can't go into his castle and swat a fly or he'll have you killed. Do you know what I mean? If a mosquito's sucking on your neck, you have to let the mosquito your neck. There's just some weird shit that goes on in here. And to me, Orchid is, I don't know, it's awesome. I haven't downloaded any of the songs like I think you can, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's got a code in the back, and you can download a unique song. I should do it.
I almost want to do it just because it's there.
Yeah. And I like music. It's more of a fact of being lazy, you know? What? Yeah, I'm getting free music. What the fuck? Why can't I go press enter? I don't know.
You have to enter a code. Just go to a website. Too much trouble.
Yeah, I don't want to sign up for anything. I don't want to be on any emails or... But, yeah, Orchid number 4 was awesome. This one really cracked Barb up because I was reading it aloud in like five different voices.
Oh, that's when you're doing your accents.
I sometimes do that. And I don't know why I do it. And she walks in the room and she's like, "What the fuck are you doing this accent for?"
Hello, my dear.
I don't know why I do that.
Do not kill that mosquito.
Yeah, and then I go into the women's voices and she's like, "What's wrong with you?" But that was really good. I think you're going to enjoy that.
And yeah, I really like the first issue. So I'm
I don't know if you're caught up on Sweet Tooth, but that is the freaking bomb.
Nah, I'm not caught up. I need to...
Oh, man. For one thing, the story that led up to this one, he had a different artist. He's like an indie artist. I can't remember his name. But God, he drew awesome. It gave all the backstory.
Yeah, who was doing... Do you know who?
Let me see. Matt Kent?
Or, okay, secret spy guy.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, Matt Kent is a... He does secret spy. He did that three story, The Giant Man.
Ah.
You read that.
But anyway, I think it's Matt Kent. I don't know. I could be confused. But whatever
it is.
His art style is awesome, and he worked really good with Jeff Lemire on the storytelling of the backstory. But then it like flash forwards when Jeff Lemire's back on the book, back on art and story. And man, I wish we could talk about it because there's so much shit going on in this world. I'm like, what the fuck? But that's Sweet Tooth is also an awesome book. And we both like the post-apocalyptic, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I'm not caught up on that. Cause, well, I'm reading a trade for one, so.
And then... I finished 30 Days of Night Again by Joe Lansdale and Sam Keith. And that turned out really interesting, and I didn't see that coming. But they had found an old torpedo at the end of issue 2. And I was like, what the fuck's in the old torpedo? I thought I was just going to be another vampire. But it turns out in that torpedo in Alaska, it's a golem. So we got like a golem versus a bunch of vampires, and it's pretty awesome. I liked it. And I'm not a fan of Sam Keith's art. I know a lot of people love the Max, and they like that very strange style. Like when he drew Wolverine, his hair was all crazy. Like he had the crazy little hooks in his hair at the top. But I enjoyed it on this book just because... If you've been reading 30 Days of Night, you know, you get Temple Smith and a bunch of artists that are real dark and they show fangs and their face structures are not always correct. Well, Sam Keith is the same way. So, yeah, it was a good story. Yeah, I liked it. So I'd recommend it if you're 30 Days of Night fan. Plus Lansdale. I've always been a fan of Lansdale. If you want to read some weird Lansdale, check out The Drive-In from Avatar. Oh, my God. That's some crazy-ass shit. That's post-apocalyptic shit, too.
I gotta pick up that trade, I think.
And then I read G.I. Joe, the regular series by Chuck Dixon. And that one is good. It wasn't as good as American Hero, but it was really good because in this story there's a bunch of Cobra in the aftermath, which you know Cobra Commander's dead, right? Because you read Cobra.
I read that one, yeah.
Well, this is the aftermath of Cobra trying to find a new Cobra Commander, so that's what that leads to. And all the Joes are getting attacked in the pit, and there's a lot of death and destruction, and it was good. They did a lot of stupid things, though. Like refurbishing an old Cobra submarine ship, which backfired on them and caused a lot of death. And then in Snake Eyes, that was interesting, too, because they were trying to be proactive in the fact that they knew that there was a new Cobra Commander and they were killing Joes everywhere. So Snake Eyes goes to the Arctic or somewhere. Robert Atkins draws a hell of a book in the first four issues, and then the art changes, and it's not as good, but it's a decent story because That's one thing I'm not liking about the current Joe stuff is that they introduce some really cool villains. Like, and one of them is a descendant from Genghis Khan. Like, and he's a warrior that's so interested and infatuated with Snake Eyes because he's a warrior. Mm-hmm. But they kill him. So it was like, you built this guy up and then you got rid of him. And then they did the same thing in Snake Eyes 2 by building up this guy who made a virus in the next four issues. He made a virus to kill off. He almost killed off a whole place in Africa, you know, where a virus like Ebola or whatever, he released it, except it causes a rage and they eventually die. Well, Duke ended up getting the virus. Snake Eyes had to go try to find the cure, but he was really interesting in the fact that he killed his girlfriend. He was dating this girl and he's like, I injected you with some parasitic worm that will go to your brain and take control of your system and you won't be able to have any thought of your own. And because I know you're working for somebody. And then she revealed who she's working for. And then he says, you can jump out of the car. We're going 90 miles an hour. Or you can let this worm kill you eventually. She jumps out of the car. But there's some interesting stuff in these titles. I'm really getting into G.I. Joe. And it's fucking weird because I never read the original stuff. Do you know what I mean? I didn't watch the car.
You're a latecomer.
I'm a very latecomer to this. And I'm enjoying it. So, and... Yeah. Maybe I'm really getting sucked in because I'm not reading a monthly and I just read 12 issues of each one in a row, you know? So. And then I checked out Super Uglies. Monsters Are Just Like Us.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It says, monsters, they never leave the stool at the end of the bar, just like you. And it's a kid's book. But yet it has this guy at the bar, a monster.
Yeah, that was the one. That was the one page where I'm like
peanuts.
That was the one page where it's like, oh, I wonder why.
It's all ages.
I understand that he was trying to appeal to adults and children.
Yeah,
and I think all the rest of them do that because some of them are there's a couple that reference Jaws, we're gonna need a bigger boat and stuff like that. But then there's that one where it's a dude, a monster at a bar drinking and smoking.
I thought there was two questionable ones, but I don't remember which one the other one was. They also look good without their shirt on, just like you.
I think kids will like that one.
Yeah, I guess that's the only questionable one. Oh, they always forget the poop bags, just like you. And he's walking his dog.
Yeah, I think that one's okay because kids love poop. So
yeah, well, and farts.
Yeah, farts and poop are always winners with kids.
I guess so this is the only one that's kind of questionable.
Yeah. So yeah, this is done it's kind of a cross between an art book and a pseudo kids book kind of. Because on one page he'll have the art, which is I love all his monster creations and all his monster art. So it's monsters in everyday situations basically, and then he has just a little. Like you said, a little saying about the monster on the other page.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. It was good.
Yeah, I did too.
I would like to see him do a book because I like his art style and it works good with monsters. And I know I love my Doom Patrol and it works well with Uncanny stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. He's got to get his shit together.
These are signature series books, so I got issue 350 out of 500. And it's really not a comic. It's, like you said, you described it already, but it's almost the size of a coloring book. So that was cool. And then I read The Scarlet Spider number 2. That's still pretty interesting. I mean, it's not anything that is fantastically great. Unless you're a big Ryan Stegman fan, then you'll really, really love the artwork. But
yeah, the art's really good.
And I'm digging the Danger Girl series called Revolver.
It's the new one?
Yeah. I have just finished the Danger Girl Army of Darkness, and then I jumped into this new one, and I've always liked Danger Girl because it's not very deep in plot, but it's executed like an action movie. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who's the guy who did that?
This guy is...
The creator of it?
Oh, Scott Campbell is the creator.
Right.
I guess he actually created it with Andy Hartnell, and this series is written by Hartnell and okay. art by Chris Madden. He does a good job of drawing it. While it's not Scott Campbell, it is very much like his style still. So it's still really good. And the last book I want to talk about, I read a shitload of books. I mean, you wouldn't believe if you saw the stacks I read.
Oh, you said sat down with a stack of 25.
Yeah, it's like I read
at a time, so.
So many books. But I just wanted to point out Nomak number 7. This is a DC book written by Dan DiDio and Keith Giffen. Wait,
you like Omak?
I love Omak. Matter of fact, it's I can almost say it's my favorite. I buy, I don't know, 120 odd books a month, and it's my favorite book of all of them. That one in All-Star Western, I freaking love. And Omak number 7 is no exception because he actually fights with Superman. The one thing I was disappointed in is Superman kind of beat him, but he cheated. He used his heat vision. But I think Omak could kick his ass. I really do. But the cool thing is he ends up being the Omak satellite, you know, the brother eye, he like zaps him in to save him from Superman, from getting crushed by Superman. He kind of zaps him to a different location. He zaps him into the zoo location. And in the zoo, there's all these talking animals and it, you're like, what the fuck is going on? And it ties into Commandy. This guy's Prince Tufton. It's awesome. So if you're like a Kirby fan, you're going to go fucking nuts. And it's got like a, well, it's not Command D. It's got a character called Command D.
Command D.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was so good. I'm gonna miss this series so much because, yes, it's not for everyone.
What's the last issue they're gonna bring out of that?
It's number 8, and this was 7. So
okay, got one more.
Yeah, but man, it's so there's certain books that when you read as a child or that they leave an impression.
Mm-hmm.
It just the style of the book, the what was happening, the dialogue of the book, and then when you find a book that's like that, it like makes you feel like a kid again. I don't know, and that's what Omak does for me. That's why I like Omak, and I think that's why I jumped on the Real American Hero, because it has a very retro feel. Do you remember when comics used to like read a monthly and you're like, oh fuck, I gotta get this next issue. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. They don't so much do that anymore. I mean, yeah, they leave you on cliffhangers, but it's a little different because you know it's gonna end and it's like a 6-inch issue story arc. Where right. when we were right. kids, there was no thing it's such ongoing. Thing as a story arc. It was just always ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so good stuff. You said you were going to mention a couple of trades you read.
Yes, I have a couple of trades. The first is, I'll start with this one. My Friend Dahmer.
Ooh, I wanted to read that one. That's interesting that you got that, because I ordered that and they canceled my order. I ordered it like 4 years ago and it never got published and DCBS canceled my order.
Yeah, they apparently resolicited it. Well, this came out. Who's the publisher of this? Abrams Comic Arts. So this is one. It's by Durf Back Durf, who does. He does a comic strip for like independent newspapers called The City. I think that's his day to day job. But he's brought out a couple graphic novels as well. So My Friend Dahmer, the backstory in this is he went to high school with Jeffrey Dahmer. So this is a telling. his memories of going to high school with Jeffrey Dahmer and what Jeffrey Dahmer was like when he was a high school student. Which, I mean, it's a pretty unique and interesting situation that the Durf Beck Durf has been put in, where it's cool that he's an established cartoonist and now he's telling his story, basically. And he was there, so.
Yeah, that's why I think that appealed to me, is because it was like a autobiographical thing, right?
Right, right. And this actually came out, there was a single issue version of this that came out I don't know how many years ago, several years back. And he tells in here, I think in the introduction, he kind of explains it. It was originally a longer story, but all he could afford to bring out at the time was, I think he self-published it, was the single issue. So he kind of cut it down to be a single issue size and brought that out. And it was really good. But this is like the expanded version. So this is like the full story of him in high school. And it's really good. I mean, it's a fascinating story. I like Durf's artwork a lot. I think his name is John Beck Durf, but he goes by Durf as like everyone calls him Durf. So then he uses his name. So it'd be like, well, your name is Myers. So the short form for that would just be Myers.
Yeah, a lot of people call me that. So
yeah. So it'd be like if you did a book and you were Myers. Just because that's what people call it. Like, if the only thing you went by was, I guess you'd just bring out your book, Myers. You wouldn't use your last name.
No, I think I'd change my name to Omac or something like that.
Omac Myers.
Omac Myers.
So this is really good. Highly recommended. It's weird because Beckdorf wasn't like a close friend of Dahmer's, but like it seems like no one was actually like a close friend of Dahmer's, but he knew him, and they kind of made fun of him, but they were like the only people who really interacted with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so they hung out with him, but they were really only hanging out with him because he was so weird, and they were basically making fun of him all the time.
Yeah.
And they used to have the Dahmer.
It probably didn't help the situation.
I don't know if he actually. I mean, they weren't mean to him or anything. They just encouraged his antics.
Yeah.
But I guess in creating this book, he also talked to. I mean, he wrote down his stories, and then he like talked to people he went to high school with to get their versions of the stories. And he read, like, I guess Dahmer's brother or father. Wrote a autobiography. So he kind of used those as reference sources as well, and interviews that Dahmer did. So he kind of, I think he had his memories, but then he didn't, I mean, he only knew what he knew of what was going on at the time. He didn't know what like Dahmer was thinking at the time. So he watched the interviews to try and get like the rest of the story and then form this book or like to tell the complete story. But yeah, it's really interesting. He also said that in his retelling of the story, Dahmer, at some point in high school, Dahmer became a huge alcoholic and would drink like before school started and during school. But I guess he said in the father's book, it's never even mentioned. So basically his parents didn't even know that he was drinking all the time. So it's interesting. He's a weird dude. But he also tells it like, you know, someone, he feels bad that, you know, he was a kind of a part of this, you know. I mean, he knew this kid who grew up to be to do these horrible things.
Yeah.
But he was like, you know, he was just a kid. I mean, he was just a high school kid, so it's not like he could have changed anything. But he's kind of like, he wonders like why the adults didn't like step in and notice that this kid was so screwed up and tried to help him.
Parents don't notice a lot.
Yeah.
Especially if they're both working.
And his parents were going through a bad divorce at the time too, so
that doesn't help matters because they're
involved in that
and not in their kid.
Yeah. So they didn't notice all the weird stuff he was doing. So that's highly recommended if you're into that kind of thing.
But other times you could just have some sick kids. I think there's situations where you could be a really good parent. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And something happens and it's kind of beyond your control. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And there's
chemical imbalance in the brain or something. And
yeah, but you'd hope to, I don't know.
You don't want to
get him help earlier or something.
Yeah. You don't want to be a parent of a serial killer.
Probably not. It was actually interesting. There was another kid that in their high school class who was also like a weirdo and used to get into trouble and do all kinds of stuff. So at the end of the story, he gets a phone call that someone in the class is a serial killer who we went to high school with, and he actually thought it was the other guy, not Dahmer.
Oh no,
Dahmer was actually his second choice. So he's like, so it's just one of those things where, I mean, he went to school with them and knew he was weird, but that wasn't even his first guess at who in his class would be a serial killer. So you never know, you know?
Yeah.
Because to him, it was more likely that this other guy would have been a serial killer than Dahmer. So you have to think back. I had to think back in my high school class. Who would I expect to be the serial killer? And if it's not anyone else, then it's you. So that's good. I also read this book called Dry Spell by Kevin Kreckler, brought out by, what was the publisher? Kinetic Press, who no one has ever heard of. I don't even know. It might be self-published. I'm not sure. Or it might be a publisher. This was really good. I was totally surprised by this one, and this is highly recommended. 5 out of 5. It's a story. It starts out that there's this guy working in an office, and one of his coworkers comes up to him and is like, "I know who you are." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "You can tell me, you know, I know who you are." And it turns out that this guy was used to be a superpowered person, and he's now quit that life and he's working a regular job. So this guy in his office tells him that he also has powers, and they meet with other cape people like at this nightclub on Tuesday nights or whatever. So he goes there and he meets all the people, and some of them, or one of the women there is a woman that he used to know, like when he was a superhero, so knows him. So he's like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" And then they talk to him, you know, about like why he left and what his current situation is. And he also, so this guy, he basically quit the superhero life and he's trying to live a normal life now. And he's married now and has a wife and has this job. So he's trying to live this normal life. There's this other superhero in the town. I think Apollo was his name. And he's like a Superman type guy. But this main character, and I don't remember what his name is. Tom hates this Apollo guy. So if you figure some place in their past, they had like some kind of, I don't know, something happened between them where that he's still keeping a grudge against this superhero guy. So the story proceeds where he's going to team up with these superpowered people that he met in this bar, and they're going to work on something. And then the story kind of has a big twist, which I'm not going to talk about, and goes on to tell the kind of the complete story of this guy and what happened to him before this point. And it's terribly interesting and fascinating, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Where'd you get it from? Was it a pre-order or was it a con?
No, it was through DCBS. I don't remember. I think I checked out a preview of it when I was. I think the description was interesting, and I checked out some preview art, and I liked it. Art-wise, it so my only complaint about it is the art is heavily photo influenced.
Ah.
To the point where it almost looks like he takes a picture and scans it in and then traces over it and manipulates it in Photoshop. I don't know if that's what he does or not. That's just kind of what it looked like to me. But it's not bad. I mean, it looks fine, but that just kind of that always, like you were saying before, that is one of my pet peeves. So
I've seen where it works for me, where I can tolerate it and where it doesn't. But
yeah,
to me, it's the story. Like, if the story drives me, I could tolerate it. But if I'm not liking the story so much, I notice it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's exactly what this was for me. It would be something that normally bugs me a lot, but the story in this was so good that it didn't really throw me at all. And then the coloring was interesting. It's kind of like almost like Alex Maleev's kind of coloring style.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like not, you know, blue shirt, blue pant, or green pants, or, well, those are weird choices, but I guess it's a superhero. But more, it's like each page has like a kind of a color scheme to it. And everything's kind of, it's more like mood coloring than literal coloring, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's highly recommended. And I noticed, let me check real quick on Amazon. I noticed that on Amazon, at least, the digital version was like really cheap. Let me pull it up. Yeah, Amazon has the Kindle version for $2.99.
That's cheap.
Damn cheap.
How many pages was it?
I don't know, like 100 something? That's a regular size graphic novel, so. Yeah, I don't know, 100, probably 128. I don't know, whatever a graphic novel is. It probably says right here. Nope, doesn't say. So, yeah, so that was Dry Spell. So recommended. Go check it out if you're interested. I think that's it for the comics for me.
I got one more I want to mention. DC, I think it's DC Universe Presents. Okay. And it started its new story. The first story arc was Dead Man, which was pretty damn awesome because it has a lot to do with religion and caste systems and religion and the devil and stuff like that. But they started a new story arc with Challengers of the Unknown. And what was that?
I was adjusting my volume.
That sound is...
I'm secretly recording this call.
Oh, you know, I wish you would.
I need to start.
Yeah, just in case. But the Challengers of the Unknown is the new story arc, and I don't know what it is with Dan DiDio, but man, he's writing to my likes. I don't know if he's like having this crisis of where he's going back to his childhood of what he liked, and maybe we were in the same.
I was gonna say you're probably
same mode or something like that, but he's writing this Challengers of the Unknown, which Kirby also had his hands in. This art style is not Kirby-esque. It's more realistic, but it is an interesting take on Challengers because they introduce it to reality TV. So it's like a bunch of adventurers that go on an adventure together while they're filming it. And there's this one guy that has an artifact in his bag, and things start to get really weird. And they go to the mountain of... I can't remember what the mountain's called. God dang it. It's a famous DC mountain that the Question was at. Is it Ramakrishna? I can't remember what it is. But there's weird Kirby-esque monsters on this, you know, mountaintop, and weird shit starts to happen. And it's not the Challengers that we grew up with Rocky and those guys going on adventures and fighting monsters, but... It is an very, very, very interesting take, and I'm enjoying it. So that was another highlight for me. Besides Jonah Hex, the Jonah Hex is so freaking awesome.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to bring that out in trade.
I am going to buy the OMAC trade again, and I am going to buy the Jonah
Hex. Has that been solicited yet?
I don't think either one of those have, but they did. I don't know if DCBS threw a bookmark into your box, but there was a bookmark of trade releases, and it tells you when they're being released, what month of the new 52. But I haven't been on this show forever, so I have a lot of movies I want to talk about.
All right, let's get to movies.
And I'll try to be quick because there's so many that I watched. But I don't remember when the last time I recorded, but it's been a while, I think. I don't remember if I mentioned, but I watched Steve Niles Remains. That was a made-for-TV movie on Chiller. So you have to have, you know, the Chiller station.
I don't get that channel.
Yeah, it's a Chiller is like the sci-fi channel for horror movies.
Right.
And it's available on DirecTV. I don't know who else has it. But this was a zombie comic that I read from IDW, I don't know, maybe about 6 years ago. And they made it into a movie. It basically takes place in a gambling town, you know. I think it's in Reno. And there's a zombie outbreak. There's a military installation, I think, not too far. And something happens and it explodes and causes an outbreak of zombies. And there's a waitress and a dude that gets stuck in the safe. And there's this magician who also is in an area where they don't get contaminated when the explosion happens. But it pretty much turns everybody in this small gambling place into zombies and all hell breaks loose. While the special effects are like made for TV and the acting is kind of made for TV, it was still worthwhile if you like zombies. Do you know what I mean? It's not going to take you out of the story because of the acting is bad. It's mediocre. Sometimes you can't get the best actors if you're making a made-for-TV movie for Chiller. But yeah. It's still worth seeing.
Yeah,
so,
Chiller probably doesn't have that big a budget. So
it got better as the movie went on. The acting started out pretty bad.
Is it a full-length hour and a half
movie? Yeah, it's about an hour and a half. I have been watching a lot of movies because I'm trying to lose weight. And one of the things I do is I get on the elliptical before work, and I've been popping in a movie, and I watch half of it in the morning and then, you know, the other half the next morning. And that was a decent movie. I watched Hall Pass. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Mm-mm.
That was a comedy, and it's basically two married guys kind of getting into trouble with their wives, and they get this thing called a Hall Pass, which allows them to do whatever they want. Their wives don't want to know about it. And they, you know, they could go sleep with other women or whatever they choose to do. And then come back in a week and everything will be back to normal. But, it turns out that the wives end up doing more stuff than the dudes. So, I don't know.
Is it any good?
It's got some scenes in it that are funny, but it's one of those movies that I wouldn't have paid to see, but it's okay to watch on TV. So
not a must see.
Yeah, but if it's on instant streaming, it's okay. I gave that one a 3 out of 5. Love and Actual Drugs. I like this one a lot better. This was a movie about a girl that had Parkinson's, and she's young. She's like in her 20s. And this guy falls in love with her. He's like a drugs salesman. You know, he sells drugs to he's a pharmaceutical dude. Yeah. So he goes to like each doctor's office and gives them free samples and stuff like that. Very interesting love story. It centers around Viagra because Viagra was really big. And that's the drug that he's kind of selling to doctors.
What's the movie called?
Love and Actual Drugs. I have a lot of movie channels, and what I've been doing is just randomly picking shit off the TiVo. DVRing shit. The next movie I watched was by accident, and I actually enjoyed the shit out of it. I don't know why I did enjoyed it, but it was called The Hitman, and I recorded this because I thought it was the one with Oliphant or Oliphant. I can't remember his name. Tim. He's in the Justified. I thought it was the one based on the video game. So I had The Hitman. I was like, I want to watch that. I think it's gonna be a good action thing. And what I ended up recording was a movie from the 80s, I think it was, which is Chuck Norris, The Hitman.
Chuck Norris, The Hitman.
And it was such a fucked up plot. I mean, there was like 7 or 8 plot threads that I actually enjoyed it. It was, I actually laughed during this action adventure movie. But it was great, and it was great to exercise too, so I gave that a 4 out of 5. I watched The Right, which has Anthony Hopkins in it. It's about a priest that doesn't necessarily become a priest because he's got lack of faith, but one priest wants to send him to Italy or whatever so he can study at the Vatican for exorcists. And he actually starts practicing under a guy who's, you know, a premier exorcist over there. That actually turned out to be pretty damn good. And it had some creepy scenes because there's a couple of things that freak my shit. It's paranormal and the devil, you know. And that was a pretty good – it had some pretty good freak my shit moments. I gave that a 4 out of 5. I watched The Devil. I don't know if you heard about this. The Devil was an M. Night Shyamalan, I can't remember his name.
Oh, that the elevator movie?
Yeah, and I only watched it because I thought you were going to be in it because of the elevator. You're like the elevator savior. So I was like, where's Bill going to make a scene? Is he going to come in here? But it's an interesting horror movie about five people, I can't remember if it's five people, that get in an elevator together, and one of them in there is the devil. So each one of those people in the elevator have committed some kind of sin in their past that's unforgivable, and it's kind of like they're headed to hell for some reason, and you kind of follow them through the elevator. Interesting take. Shalom M. Night didn't direct it. I think he produced it. He wrote it, but it wasn't under his direction.
I didn't direct that? Interesting.
Good elevator movie, but it is one of those movies where you got to have a little bit of patience because the majority of the movie takes place in one place. Mm-hmm. And it's not like The Breakfast Club where the dialogue is all that great and everything. So,
yeah.
Well, it's still interesting. I think you'd like it, Bill, because of your experience in elevators. And,
elevator. Yeah. I might get too technical, though. I'll be like, oh, here's all the mistakes they made.
they couldn't.
10 minutes.
Why didn't they hit this button? Come on, man.
Oh, don't hit that button. Oh, you fool.
Yeah, I guess that could you'd be like watching if you were in CSI work and you're watching CSI. So
that's right.
Say, we don't have that damn equipment.
It's like I'm a doctor trying to watch like House or something.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Who are they trying to fool?
I saw Ghost Rider: Spirits of Vengeance. That was kind of disappointing. While it was enjoyable, it was not as good as the first one, and I don't know what that says, but.
I didn't like the first one, so.
They had taken all the great scenes of the movie and thrown it into the preview, mm-hmm. and made the movie look better than it actually was. But, and I think the director, I hate to say this because I use this word a lot, but the director was pretentious. He did some shit in there he didn't really have to do. Not for a Ghost Rider movie. Come on, man. So I gave that a 3 out of 5. Man, I watched a lot of movies. Valentine's Day, I don't know if you heard about this one. This one had a bunch of big actors in it. It's one of those movies that had like Julia Roberts and Man, it had a lot of them. The girl that plays Catwoman and...
At first I thought you were talking about like the old horror movie Valentine's Day.
Oh, this is a love story, romantic comedy type thing.
Nah, why, don't waste my time.
It was pretty good. I liked it. It was an interesting movie. I don't know what's going on with these romantic comedies I'm watching, but fucking, there's two of them right there for you. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
You're getting old and sentimental.
It's this random shit. I'll just sit there. If I could sit through a Chuck Norris movie while exercising, I don't. I watched Your Highness, which is a comedy.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it in the show or some. I know somebody talked about it.
Yeah, I talked about it.
It was good. It was all right. It had some funny scenes. I mean, I always laugh at stupid shit, and there's a lot of stupid shit in this one. I like the snake scene when he gets bit by the guy. This guy dips his finger in this like yellow ooze, and each finger represents a snake head. Mm-hmm. And they're going after him, and one of the guys gets bit. He's like, "Suck it, suck it, swallow it, no, spit it." That was funny. It's the child in me that. All that humor is really bad humor, but it makes me laugh like farts. Little Fockers. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I like that movie. It almost seemed like they should have done like another draft of the screenplay before they.
Yeah, I think it could.
It was good, but it could. They had an opportunity to make it better, I think, and they.
Oh, a lot funnier too.
Fell short. Yeah.
Yeah. But it had some good moments where I laughed.
Yeah, for sure.
I saw Little Fockers, and I liked that.
I have not seen that
one. I always liked the Fockers, and this was an interesting one.
More of the same?
More of the same, but they're older. He's got kids, and the father comes to visit because he had a minor heart attack. And he's worried.
Is that the third one or the second one? It's
the third one. Robert De Niro had like a little bit of a heart attack, so he feels that he has to give the family to somebody, and he can't give it to the guy he likes, which is his other daughter's husband, because they're getting a divorce, and he wants to kill him, so he ends up, giving it to the fucker. And it turns out to be a nightmare because he's trying to impress him, and when he always tries to impress Robert De Niro, shit doesn't go well. So very much the same plot, but it's still fun. If you like the first two, you'll like this one. Or is this the second one? I can't remember if there's two or three of these.
I don't know.
Meet the Fockers is the second one.
Yeah, there's three.
Another one. What else did I got?
I don't know. There's one or two or three. It's two or three.
I watched Wanderlust.
Maybe there's only two.
This is one at the theaters now.
Oh, that's the new one, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it had Jennifer Aniston and I can't remember the other guy's name, but...
Paul Rudd.
There you go. And that was an interesting comedy about hippies. And it's got some funny scenes, but it's a okay movie. It's not like I was laughing out loud rolling, but it was good. It's worth watching.
Did you see... I talked about it, I think, last week.
It has penises in it, so you ought to check it out, Bill.
Ooh.
Barb mentioned that. put that in your queue.
And you,
old man penis in there too. I mean, really old guy. But it has this one guy who's a nudist in the hippie. That guy's he's got a big penis, dude.
Big penises.
He is well hung. I mean, if you watch Spartacus, you think some of those guys are hung, but this nudist man, he's got a big schlong. Holy crap!
That's why he's a nudist.
Yeah.
Like, hey, check this out.
This thing, man. When it's that big and it's not hard, that's pretty amazing.
I can barely even put pants on.
When you're limping, you're that big. Oh my God. So that's Wanderlust. I saw Grown Ups. That was an Adam Sandler movie with the guy from King of Queens and stuff.
Oh, that's that. Yeah, I don't want to. I don't care about that one.
I like that.
That was good. How was it?
I liked it better than Wanderlust.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you see? I talked about it last. I think last episode. My Idiot Brother.
No, that's a new one, isn't it? Wasn't that at the theaters just recently?
Maybe like 6 months ago.
Yeah. You watched it?
Yeah, that was good.
My Idiot Brother. That one was Paul Rudd too, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it.
Yeah. I saw Unstoppable for the first time, which was Denzel Washington in the train.
I never saw that.
That was really good. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was just in the mood for it, but I actually went on the elliptical for an hour because I
couldn't stop it. Couldn't turn it off.
45,
huh?
Yeah. That was good. I watched Dead on Arrival or something like that. It was based on a video game. Very good choreography, like fight scenes and stuff. A bunch of beautiful women fighting, so it's worth watching. It has Eric Roberts in it as the bad guy. It's pretty good for a video game movie. I kind of enjoyed it. Man, I have a lot. Mr. Bean's Holiday, have you heard of that? That was decent. Roman Atkinson.
Yeah, I know Mr. Bean. I haven't seen that one.
Very interesting concept. He wins a ticket to go to Cannes, hang out at the beach, and go to the Cannes Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
That turns into a disaster like everything else that
of course
does. But it's really good if you like Mr. Bean. Safe House, that's at the movies. That's another Denzel Washington movie about safe houses, which I didn't know they I know they existed, but I never saw a movie where they focus on what a safe house is, and that was pretty good. I watched Hanna, which had a lot of critics liked Hanna.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was
okay. You didn't like it?
I thought it was okay.
Haven't you seen that before?
No.
Really?
No, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
I know somebody talked about it. Maybe it was Micah or you, but
I think we both saw it.
I just thought it was all right.
Really? I'm surprised.
I was surprised too. I thought I liked the overall plot. I didn't like the execution of the plot. And some of the style of directing bothered me. I don't know. I for some reason I'm not into the artsy fartsy shit. And even though this was an action movie kind of thing, I thought he did some camera work that was very unusual.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the artsy fartsy stuff, because I know they teach you all this in film school and all this shit, but I'd rather just see a film. I don't want to see the camera from this angle zooming in on, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was okay. I gave it a 3 out of 5. There's none of them I gave a 2 out of 5, so I didn't hate anything. I watched John Carter. Oh, fuck, that was awesome. Best
really?
Movie of the year for me. Oh,
cool.
I've been reading the comic book, Warlord of Mars and Deja Thoris, and I've been into it. You know, it's been like a 3 out of 5 comic for me, but what draws me into the comic is the aliens that are on the world and the overall plot, plus the love story that exists within the story. And this movie it was so good. There was one scene in there that made me cry because he's got like this alien creature that's like his dog, right? And it reminded me of Scooter, and I was like, oh, fuck. It's like,
gotcha.
I was like bawling, man. I was like, holy shit. But John Carter was probably the best movie I've seen this year. It was good. 5 out of 5. I want to go see it again, a matter of fact.
Wow. Yeah, I want to see that. It's getting like mixed reviews, it seems.
Yeah, I've never read the original source material, so I can't compare it to that. I have read.
Well, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is a great writer, so.
It's not Robert E. Howard.
Nope. That's Burroughs, right?
Yeah, Edgar Rice, the Tarzan creator. But I don't know much about this other than it was a short story prose that he wrote. Like, I don't even think it's that long. And it generated a Marvel comic in the 70s, I think in 79 or 78, John Carter, Warlord of Mars, which they have the omnibus out right now for it. And
have you read that?
I've maybe read 2 issues of it. And I don't remember it from back then. But when Dynamite did Warlord of Mars and Deja Thoris, and they're doing Warriors of Mars. Yeah, and
many spin-offs.
Yeah, I am reading them all. And I'll tell you this, I'm not one for Dynamite's over solicitation of their properties, but for this property, I'm buying them all, and I'm enjoying them all, and I'm caught up on them all. So I what does that say? I don't know. I've seen the world, so.
Yeah, I've read not much. I've read a couple of the, I think those ones, they do like the dollar issue, first issues. I've checked those out, and I've enjoyed them all.
Mm-hmm. So that was, I was pleasantly surprised, and Barb loved it too. I don't know if it's just because she loves the guy, but Friday Night Lights, but Taylor Kitsch.
Mm-hmm.
She seemed to be sucked into the world too, so.
Cool.
She said she absolutely loved it. So, yeah, that was probably the best movie we've seen at the theater for sure. The other movie that I didn't write down here, I watched The Other Guys, which was Mark Wahlberg and the guy from Saturday Night Live, which I can't remember. Talladega Nights. What's his name? Oh, shit. I can't remember his name.
Oh, Will Ferrell?
Yeah, Will Ferrell.
Seen that?
They play like some cops that aren't popular cops. I was really surprised to see like The Rock in it with he was one of the action cops that was in it, and Michael Keaton was in it. They had a lot of big actors in it, and I thought it was funny. I didn't think I was going to like it, but it was good. It's worth watching. And then my instant streaming movie of the week was Doghouse. This is I think it's a British film. It's in the horror genre, and very fucking weird, man. The premise of this is there's a guy getting a divorce, and there's a bunch of friends. There's like 8 friends, and they're all in the doghouse with their girlfriends or wives because they're going away for a weekend to help this guy out deal with his divorce, and they end up going to a small town, I mean really small area, where there's like maybe, I don't know, 20 buildings, and it's like one of those stops in a train stop or whatever. It's not a many population. And they get there and there's no fucking people. So you're like, what the hell's going on? Well, it turns out that there was this virus released in that town that caused all the females to turn into zombies and not affect the male population. And as they progressed, they started off as like slow zombies and just moving around, and they became really fast as the virus progressed. So it was a pretty crazy ass movie, and it's more of one of those horror comedies because it's ridiculous. But it's worth watching if you got nothing else to watch, and if it's on instant streaming. That's all I had. That was a lot.
When you mentioned Taylor
Kitsch,
whatever his name is, Kitsch.
Yeah.
It reminded me, we're in the theaters. I can't remember what the heck? What did? Wait, when does he? Oh, anyway, we're seeing something, and they had a trailer for Battleship.
Yep.
The You Sunk My Battleship movie, which has not only Taylor Kirsch, but it has Landry from
from Friday Night Lights.
Melanie and I are like, oh, cool. And it's actually and it's directed by Peter Berg, so it's like, oh man, it's Friday Night Lights in.
It looks like an interesting movie. The thing that looks deceiving is the whole concept of Battleship is really kind of the game, right? I mean, My Battleship, it's kind of thrown into a situation where it's really not what you think anymore because it's like Transformers to me. It almost looks like Transformers 4.
Yeah. Well, it seems like they started with the concept of basing it off the video game. And I guess they do have a battleship in it.
Yeah.
Not video game, the game. But then they said, hey, why don't we bring in like aliens and like alien robots and
yeah.
And put all the Friday Night Lights people in it. It's like, so I was watching that. I'm like, I'm gonna have to actually see that now.
Now, Landry actually makes an appearance in Paul too. I don't know if you've ever seen that about the alien that.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that yet. I always forget to watch that. I forget that I need to watch that. So I watched a couple of movies. Micah's not here, but I saw Arrietty.
Ari, I can't remember. That's the animated thing?
Yeah, that's the new. We were talking about it last week. So I saw that. I enjoyed it. It was awesome. About little people.
Isn't it manga-esque?
It's totally manga. Well, not manga, but anime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a studio. It was written by Hayao Miyazaki, who's done tons of. He's like the godfather of anime, so of course it was good. I also saw. I had forgotten about this, but we saw. I think it's called The Vow.
Oh, that's a romantic movie.
Yeah, not my choice, but
you're giving me shit. Look at that.
Yours were all your choice, though.
Okay.
Yeah, The Vow. So it's a romantic comedy, not a romantic comedy, romantic movie. It's about a girl who loses her memory, and this girl who's married and loses her memory, and then it's the story of her husband trying to reconnect with her. Cause it's weird. Like they're in a car accident and she loses the memory for her life. So to her, it's like, she just woke up the next day, 5 years earlier, and mm-hmm. doesn't remember anything that happened, which is the time during those 5 years is when she met and married her husband. So she doesn't remember him at all. So it's interesting, but it was okay. It was a decent movie. It's just nothing. Pretty much everything's as expected, and some of the characters' reactions to situations didn't seem like they would really react in real life. That was my only complaint.
Huh.
I don't remember specifics of it now. I saw it a little while ago, but not too bad. I also saw The Whistleblower.
Did Melanie like it?
Yeah, she loved it. She likes that romantic crap.
Does she like some of the stuff that you like or not at all? Like, she's like, what the fuck are you watching?
She doesn't like the weird stuff.
At all? Like, won't even sit through it?
No. Nah.
So why did you end up going to The Vow? It's like it's a movie night, somebody's taking care of the kids or what?
Yeah. Yeah, we had to. Yep, it was our time to go to the movies, so.
Well, I have a question.
There was nothing really that I wanted to see, so.
Well, I have a question about this, just because I want to understand this better. When you just because I know, I'll tell you my situation, and then we'll talk about it. When we go to a movie, me and Barb never like have a conflict of of interest on a movie, usually. You know what I mean? Like, if I say, let's go see John Carter, Avengers, or, you know, whatever the hell, or some horror movie, mm-hmm. we go see it. Do you have that issue, and is it equally balanced? In other words, if you guys go see a movie and you're like, I want to go see John Carter, will you go see John Carter, or will you go see The Vow, because Melanie controls it?
Yeah, let me think about this. So the last part you're throwing me, like, so we'd go down the list of movies. If there's one that I wanted to see and she didn't, I mean, there's always going to be that, and there may be ones that she wants to see that I don't care about. I don't know if we've ever gotten to a situation where we had to battle it out over. I mean, we just find a movie that we both agree with, okay. Essentially.
So you agreed with The Vow.
Yeah, there was nothing else planned, so. I was fine with it. Well, I mean, unless I'll pretty much go see anything. It would have to be really bad for me to not want to go see it. I mean, there's stuff that I don't really care about seeing, but for me to actually not like refuse to go see something.
Yeah.
There's not many of those. I'll pretty much see any movie.
Yes. Same here. But it seems like Barb will succumb to whatever I want to watch. But she ends up liking it, but every now and then she actually drove for the John Carter, because she, like, Taylor Kitsch is like one of her top five guys, so mm-hmm. she wouldn't miss, like, Battleship. We're gonna go see right away.
Yeah, and I could get Melanie to go see John Carter because he's in it too.
Well, it is a love story. It's a different kind of love story, but at its heart, it is a love story.
See, they're smart. You do a movie like that, and you put a guy like that in it, so the guys want to go see it, and the women will go along because they want to see him.
Oh, the alien effects too are so good, like Taras Tarkit or whatever his name is, the one guy with four arms. Oh, he's such a good. Whoever does his voice and the effects and his daughter, and oh, it's just so good. And the white apes, they did them really cool looking. I don't remember them being as big as they are in the movie, but at least when they were visually interpreted in the comic books and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it is a really...
Yeah, you never know if that was... Maybe that's what they were originally and they changed it for the comic or...
Yeah.
Vice versa.
I hate to read prose. Like, I fucking hate it. But this has me very curious. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm so invested in the property right now.
Yeah, you want to...
I almost want to know...
The world.
Not just that, but I almost want to know how much it deviates from the source material. Because I think the overall concept of... The movie is amazing, and if he, I want to know if he crafted, because he has himself in the fucking movie, Edgar Rice Burroughs. So I want to know if he crafted it, how he crafted really? That. Yeah, I find it amazing, and I want to know what was originally written versus what. You know, what I'm seeing and what I am reading.
Go for it.
Maybe I'll have somebody read it to me.
In books on tape.
Why don't you make a podcast of it and then just read it? Do your various voices and we'll go from there.
That's a public domain now, isn't it?
Well, Disney is suing, Dynamite, I heard.
Yes, heard someone was suing them.
And I don't understand all the ramifications, but I do know this. The movie was so good that I'm contemplating buying the omnibus that Marvel put out for that property. And I'm also considering reading a book, which I never fucking do. And what was the other thing I wanted to do? Oh, I want to check out the Marvel version, because Marvel put out its version of the
prose of the movie
of the Prosmork, actually. it's not a movie adaptation, but the prose work.
Okay.
So
is that newer?
Yeah, that's brand.
Oh yeah, yeah. They do have a miniseries, right?
Yeah. So I wanna.
That's right.
So there's how more much more can you say about something that draws you in to want to read everything, right? I mean, I really liked it.
Cool. Yeah, I need to see that. I'm glad that someone saw it and can give a interpretation.
I'm different than a lot of people, though.
yeah, but I know what you like.
I like what I like, you know?
I know what you like, and I've read some of the comics, so I know I already like the property. So,
mm-hmm. Well, we have the post-apocalyptic thing in common.
Like a man out of place.
Yeah, and the other thing I'd really like to know, and I don't want to talk about it here because you haven't seen it, but there's a concept of how he gets to Mars, right? And I really like to talk about that. So if you do see it, it'll be there. Something to talk about. Hopefully Micah will watch it too.
Well, he will now.
Did you ever watch The Human Centipede yet?
No.
Ah.
Keith watched it?
Yeah, he did. He liked it too. He called me on a day and he's like, I watched it. Now I have to watch A Time Traveler's Wife, but I have the movie and I'm probably going to watch that today just so I could get it out of the way, but who knows. I'm all for the movie challenges.
Yeah. It's a good idea. Get you to watch some stuff you wouldn't otherwise watch.
Yeah, I had to force feed The Human Centipede to him, but
no pun intended.
I actually find that movie very, very different. And
I thought you were going to say arousing.
Yeah, the fact that they shit in each other's mouths, that was amazing. it was actual horror movie that I was... There's a scene in there when the doctor's explaining to his victims what he's going to do, and it is terrifying. At least I find it to be terrifying.
Yeah.
And it was so well done that you're like, oh, fuck, these guys are so fucked. But, yeah, I think you'd like to watch it.
Maybe someday.
It's a movie you could tell Melanie, you watch The Vow, let's watch The Human Centipede.
Not the fair trade.
Yeah, right before Heroes, just say, Mike Myers challenged us to The Human Centipede. She'd hate me forever. You will not be on that show anymore.
How long do you think she'd last? Like 5 minutes to do it? It probably takes about a good 15 minutes before.
I think she'd make it through half hour.
That's maybe. Before the bad stuff starts.
Because yeah. It does have to give you the, you know, like the how you got to this point.
Right. They have to set it up.
And it does start off like a, you know, your typical scenario, I guess. What else did you watch?
I watched a movie called The Whistleblower, which starred Rachel, what's her name, Wise, something like that? Weiss? I don't know. It was, so it's about this woman, this cop, who in order to get more money, she goes over to, oh shit, where does she go now? I can't remember. I have to look it up now because I'm stupid and can't remember what town like, she went to.
That's what Alan was making fun of us on DC Noise because we were like a bunch of old men. We couldn't get anything right. You know? And Keith started to make up this analogy and he just had Alan rolling.
Oh, here you go. Bosnia. I couldn't remember what country it was. So she goes to Bosnia to be part of the UN police force to... Because it's like after the war and they're trying to enforce the rules, I guess. So the UN sends in their police force to help out, basically. And this is all done through government contracts, so contracting companies. So she goes over there and she uncovers this sex... what the fuck's it called?
Sex trades?
Sex trade, yeah, sex trades industry. And
human so slavery she, or whatever they yeah, call it, human.
Yeah. What is the official term?
I God, can't think of
it. Damn, my brain's fucking retarded.
Sex slaves or no, sex. They use it all the time because it's like
I know
it's a sex trade or
God, we're laughing about it. It's we're horrible. Sex sex something about sex. Slaves.
We get the idea. You're not.
I'm gonna do a search for sex slaves.
Yeah, and Melanie will walk in.
Don't look at my browser history. Don't look at my browser history.
What are all those little kids on the damn thing?
Oh, horrible. Sex
trade.
Yeah, sex trade. So basically, and it was kind of interesting because I didn't know a lot about this. So she goes over there and she uncovers. She finds these girls, who were sex slaves, and
they're sold into sex trading. Or God, what the fuck's the term? They basically kidnap girls from other
other countries. And
well,
then,
it's not just girls too, right? It's guys too, right? I mean, it's
in this one, it was just. Human trafficking. Yes, oh,
thank you.
Right. So in this one, well, it's actually interesting. So here's the part that I found interesting that I didn't know. So they're talking about these countries that have been through these wars, like, and they have wars that last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, right?
Right.
Where the country's been at war. So what happens over that time is all the men are fighting. So you end up with a population where you have like twice as many women as men
because
all the men have died from this war. So then the question is, okay, what happens to these girls, right? Because there's not enough guys for them to get married. And after this war, the economy is total shit, right? So you've got these women who can't get jobs and there's no men for them to marry. So they're stuck in this, you know, this fucked up situation. So what happens is they get lured in by these guys who tell them, you know, work for me for a little bit and I'll give you, you know, you'll earn money and then you'll be free. But they never are free. They just become slaves and they force them to, you know, live these horrible lives. So this woman finds out about this, or she finds out it's going on in Bosnia, and she starts to try and figure out who's behind it and tries to stop it. And she realizes how deep it goes. Like, she finds out that people in the local police are in on it, and then she finds out that people on this UN police force are in on it, and it keeps going. The more she looks into it, the deeper and deeper it goes, and the more she finds out about it. And this is actually based on a true story of this. It is a true story of this woman who went over there. So it was really good. It was really interesting stuff, and it was really well done. And the actress, I think she. God, what's her name? Rachel Wise. Yeah, she was really, really good in it.
Was this an instant stream or no?
No, I just got it from the library. So that's it for movies for me.
Have you been watching Comic Shop Guys? Or?
I have.
What do you think?
I like it. I did the first episode. I thought it was weird because it wasn't what I was expecting, but the more I watch, the more I like it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I find it interesting more than I don't know, because it's almost like Pawn Shop Stars or something like that with comics. Because you have all these people coming in trying to sell shit,
sell stuff. Yeah, I know that, and that's what the first one I watched. That's not what I was expecting. So. Well, I wasn't expecting that they were sitting around a table talking about it with Kevin Smith, like in front of microphones, like they're doing a podcast or something.
I think it is a podcast, and they just convert it to video or some of it. I thought it was interesting how that guy, they let that one guy who I didn't realize was not a really shop guy, but he was their IT guy, come up with ideas that flop, like that zombie day. Did you see that one?
Okay. But they need an IT guy for, they have a website?
I don't know. Maybe they sell stuff through their website.
Yeah, so the premise of this is Kevin Smith's TV show where he owns the store, right?
Yeah, well, I think he did. I think the Flanagan, Walt Flanagan, I think he owns the store now. I think Kevin Smith sold it all to him because he wasn't living there anymore.
Okay. So he started it, and then Walt Flanagan, who's – so him and I think a couple of the other guys basically grew up with Kevin Smith, right?
Yeah. The one guy went to college with him, the bearded guy. He doesn't even work there. He's just a guy that stops at the shore. It's actually kind of fascinating because I wonder what that – it's like that guy almost doesn't work for a living. Like he lives somewhere.
Yeah. And it seems like he doesn't –
well enough to do it. It, you know, what amazes me is just how people live. how do I explain this? People love what they love, right? Like we're into comics and movies and stuff like that. But there are people that don't have my income that still live my lifestyle, kind of. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they do it because it costs so much. You know, $4 a comic book is a lot of fucking money. I mean,
I doubt there's anyone who doesn't make a lot of money who does it exactly the same way you do.
Yeah.
I don't get quite that many books.
Oh, yeah. But
there are people who spend all their disposable income on whatever their hobby is.
Well, it's a compulsion, but there are people that I know that don't necessarily have jobs, but they still manage to do a lot. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They still manage to see a lot of the movies I see and to read a lot of comics, not necessarily the quantity, but they still manage to do what they do. And it really amazes me because I don't know. It's just like that one guy in the shop. I don't know if he even has a job, but yet
doesn't seem like he does.
Kevin Smith's, but he has to be able to buy food. He's fat. I mean, you can't just.
Yeah.
And I don't know how the shop makes That's another concept that just boggles my mind. They had that day-long sale with zombies, and they were at the end of the day, how much did we make? We made $62 or whatever.
It was like 32 bucks or something.
That's fucking – how do you stay open?
It's 38 bucks. That's what one thing I wish they would get into more is where the comics industry is now and how shitty it is and how hard it is to actually make money. You know what I mean? Like I would like to see And I understand why they're not doing it, because I understand that this appeals to a small number of people. But I would just like to see the comic industry side of it more and the business side of it more.
Oh, I would like to see it too, but you're right.
Yeah, we're not the audience.
They have to appeal to people that watch Walking Dead or whatever, because it's right after,
right.
You know, stuff that. Reality TV too. Do you know what?
Right. That's totally what they're trying. And like you said. They're incorporating elements from other reality shows like Pawn Stars types of things in order to appeal to more than just the comic book people.
But the thing that infatuates me, or I don't know if that's the word for it, but how do they, if you make 36 dollars a day, you have three employees.
Mm-hmm.
How do you – and plus you have,
expenses.
Yeah. You're renting a lot of – that shop
rent
has
power.
Square footage. It does, comparatively speaking, to some shops, right? It's got quite a bit of square footage. Things aren't as crowded. They have a lot of books on the wall and
pretty crowded to me.
Yeah. Well, it's not as jam-packed as some of the comic shops I go into. There are boxes everywhere, and it's chaotic. Yeah. It seems a little clean. Like, you could walk down aisles, and you never see anybody in the fucking store buying shit. This last week was the first time I ever saw somebody buying anything, and it was because that girl was like, yeah, I want the first appearance of Wolverine, and I want giant size X-Men, right? Mm-hmm. But, man, I just don't know how you could live like that. Like, I'm sure they're making money for the show, too, you know?
Right.
To be.
Yeah, that's the one thing. The guy is getting paid for the show, but I doubt they're getting paid. I don't know how much they're getting paid. Although, the one thing is, I mean, they're friends of Kevin Smith, so you got to wonder how much he's helping them out, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure he looks after his friends. I really do. He just seems like the type of guy, right?
Yeah, he's definitely going to do that. But, that's why I didn't know if he owned the store, because I figure if he owned it, he was probably not making any money out of the store and just paying them.
The one thing that was interesting is I actually fell in love with Walt Flanagan's artwork in the Kevin Smith Batman books. So that guy has chops. He can draw. At least he draws to my liking.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see the next follow-on by him. Yeah.
Has he done anything besides Kevin Smith stuff?
He's done independent books, but I don't know what they are. I'd have to go Google and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's a good artist. I think he's talented. I really do. I would read a Batman book with him drawing the art. I really would.
Yeah, I've only flipped through it, but yeah, it looked...
He draws one sick fucking Joker, I'll tell you that.
Definitely look like pro work.
I really enjoy the show, and it gets me giddy just seeing all, like, that one guy brought his collection, and he had the...
Oh, God, the collections are the best.
Of Wonder Woman, I was like, oh, my God.
I know.
The appearance of Robin, I'm like, holy shit. And they were in good condition, Bill. I mean...
I know.
It's like...
Well, there's been a couple where people have brought in old stuff.
Oh, yeah, just like that Godzilla thing, too. I mean, I find it interesting, anything they bring in. You know what I mean? Mm.
Yeah, when they're doing... I think there's been two where they brought in... People brought in old collections. Yeah, and some of the ones they're going through, it's just like, oh, my God. The weird thing is, like, some of them... Like, even the X-Men, where they're taking out, like, the giant-size X-Men, they're, like, picking it up and flipping through it. I'm like, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm surprised they even take it out. I guess if someone's going to buy it, you have to take it out to look at it. But dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some nice stuff they've
got. I enjoy the show. And while I would like to see some of the other stuff, I still appreciate what they're doing, I guess. You know, I watch it.
Yeah, and I understand why they have to do it that way.
Yeah. So
fine with it.
Are you watching Walking Dead?
I have not watched any of the new season.
Why? Are you recording it?
Yeah, it's on my TiVo.
Oh, so
I don't know. I just I'm not inspired to watch it for some reason.
Well, let me inspire you. There's some crazy shit this second part of the season. Did you watch the first part?
I haven't watched any of this season.
Not even last before Christmas? The season was broken up into two.
Yeah, I watched the first part of it.
Okay. This season, I'll tell you, there's a lot more zombies and controversy things happening. And I find it very interesting to see the departure from the comic. That interests me. And Barb likes it too, so we always watch that, you know, at least within the week that it was shown on. And Spartacus is the shit. I mean, that... even though we have a new actor playing Spartacus, it's pretty seamless, though. It's still really well executed. That is a really good show.
Cool.
I'm recording some other stuff, but haven't watched it, any of it. I recorded The River and a couple other things.
I don't think there's anything major that new, at least, that I'm watching. A couple of new shows are have them on TiVo, but I haven't got around to watching them yet.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot of comics. The only reason I've seen so many movies, well, obviously, is because I've been away from the show for a month. And then because I'm working seeing out. At least two movies, maybe three movies a week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more. I started watching the DC Nation stuff. The Green Lantern one is just a repeat right now, but it's still really well done. The animated series and Young Justice started, and that's still really good. They have some pretty complex plot lines in that Young Justice. I think they're really well crafted. But that's about all I've been watching. I haven't been eating a hell of a lot of good stuff because trying to lose weight.
Well, if you're exercising that much, you're going to make some progress.
Well, the way I'm doing stuff is there's like a calorie app for my iPhone. So I enter in all the foods that I eat, and then I have to come underneath it or I have to exercise. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm watching my calories.
Burn off the excess.
Yeah.
That's the way to working, do it.
Got about 8 pounds so far. It's on an app that does you could enter in what you want to do, and has a pound and a half a week.
Okay. It tells you, figures out how many calories you need each day to.
Yeah.
To hit your target.
Figures out how many calories if you do absolutely nothing. And then you add in your exercise to offset whatever, you know.
Give you more calories.
Mm-hmm. Gives you more calories, or it helps you lose weight faster because you're burning more than you're allocated.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. I did eat last night. We have this chain of grocery stores called Mariano's that they just opened one real close to us, like about 5 minutes away.
Hmm. And what did you get?
So it's cool because they have a better selection than most grocery stores. It's like they have a lot of fruits and vegetables and stuff. But they have like a sushi bar, but they have a gelato bar.
Oh, I love gelato.
Me too. And is it
all you can eat? Gelato or what
No, they call it a gelato. It's just a standard gelato
place. In other words, just because they put bar there, it's not like a salad bar. Okay.
It's not self-serve.
Oh God, that would kill me. I would go a whole day and say I want just to eat calories of gelato.
Plugging that into your app.
I love the fruit-based gelatos, like the blueberry and the pear. And I like the stracciatella is one of my favorite. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but it's the vanilla with chocolate strips on it.
Okay. I got the hazelnut yesterday.
Mm. I guess that's good if you like coffee, right?
It doesn't have coffee. Yeah.
Well, I always think of hazelnut coffee. Yeah. I know what it smells like. I hate coffee, so I know all the different smells.
That's what you associate it with. Yeah. It was good though. I love how they have a mini size that's like a dollar. It's just like a scoop, basically, like a big scoop.
Yeah.
So now I have one of those like 5 minutes away.
That's a good price because. They usually have the one scoop and then the two scoop and then the three scoop, you know, gelato thing.
Yeah.
And I usually get three, but for a dollar, you can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they have different sizes, so I'll be eating a lot of gelato.
Well, we used to have a gelato place, and oh, man, it was so it's such a light and smooth, you know, so comparatively smooth. To mm-hmm. ice cream, you know, especially if it's done right. We've gone to some gelato places that are not, that don't specialize in gelato, but, you know, have it as a available, and it's just not mm-hmm. smooth or creamy, or I don't know how to describe it. It's not like ice cream. And man, that place went away, went out of business. I didn't buy enough gelato.
I didn't buy enough gelato. I also like gelato because they have like the weird flavors that you never see from ice cream.
Yeah. My favorite were the fruit, like some of the fruit, like a blueberry fruit. And the pear was one of my favorites.
I haven't tried the pear. I do like pear stuff, though.
Oh, it's so, like, if you like canned pears or something like that, that gelato is just to die for. It's so good. I've tried a lot of them, but I stick with a lot of the ones that I like. Blueberry. Mm-hmm. I love.
Love the blueberry?
Mm-hmm.
I got... My son got cookies and cream.
Well, that's my favorite, like, just to get... If you ever go, like, to get a blizzard or a... They call the... You know how they blend that shit together with the ice cream? And
yeah. My
favorite is the cookies and cream because... Usually if you get a good cookies and cream, it's not just the Oreo cookie and the ice cream, but they throw marshmallow in there too. Oh. I'm getting hungry.
I want to go get some gelato now.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I just gained back those 8 pounds. That's one thing about losing weight very little at a time is... You can gain it all back really fast, faster than your, you know.
One bad day.
Yeah, one bad day and all hell breaks loose. Yeah. Anything else you want to mention?
Not that I can think of offhand.
Well, there's one thing I want to mention. Robert Atkins and Quinn Johnson are doing a Kickstarter project called Elders of the Runestone. Mm-hmm. You can find it at kickstarter.com. And I don't really listen to their podcast because actually I'm not listening to a lot of podcasts, to be honest, and it's just because of time. And I only listen to like 3 now. And it's because my work schedule is crazy. I can't listen to podcasts at work because I won't retain anything because I'm single-threaded. In other words, if I'm right. thinking about writing a line of code, I don't hear anything that happens while I'm writing code. Or if I'm doing something, I don't hear anything. I can only do one thing at a time, which is bad because my wife can do like many things at a time. But I think it's just my mentality and I'm getting older, so I can't multi-thread at all. It's like I have to focus. So like if I'm watching on TV and Barb's saying something, I don't hear it. It sounds like the Peanuts, right? It's like... So, but anyway, they're doing a Kickstarter project and it's called Elders of the Runestone. They do a podcast together and they went to school together. And I guess Quinn... had this idea in his head for a while and Robert and him have been friends forever and they're finally getting this thing kicked off and after many, many years. And you can make donations for various, you know, rewards, I guess. What do you call them? Any Kickstarter, you invest so much money, anywhere from $5 to hundreds of dollars, and you get different tiers of... You can get your name mentioned in the comic. Rewards. You could get artwork. You could do... The artwork is the best deal, I mean, to me. If you're into art or sketches and stuff and you think about what a regular sketch costs you, like a Robert Atkins sketch at a con's like $100. So if you're mm-hmm. gonna go that way and you want a sketch and you can get this for $150 and get the PDF, the comic, and everything in a sketch, it's, you know, you could... get a good sketch of the character of your choice for $150. But there are different rewards, different tiers of what you could do. And Robert Atkins has become a really good friend of ours, especially on the DC Noise podcast. You know, he's come on the show I don't know how many times. It's the shows where Keith really gets drunk. I don't know why. But it's like Robert's on the show and Keith has to drink like 15 beers that night or something like that. But
it's a coincidence.
It's a coincidence, yeah. I think he's intimidated or something. But this Robert Atkins is pretty much known for his G.I. Joe work. He's done Marvel work, a lot of Marvel work, actually, if you look into it. But he's done a hell of a lot of G.I. Joe books, and he's done Snake Eyes. He's done the first four issues of Snake Eyes, which I think has been his best work ever. Like, it's just freaking amazing, the layouts and the poses and everything that was in it. And he's coming back on the Snake Eyes in the latest previews. If you go to the latest IDW section, you'll see that they're changing the title of the Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. So Robert is coming back onto the series, so you should check that out. But anyway, this is a Kickstarter if you're interested at all in Robert Atkins' art. And Quinn has done a lot of work, too. He's been doing a lot of work for Ape Comics. So like, if you're into the kid, you know, the kids, all ages, properties, like I think he's done some work in Richie Rich and some of the other stuff that's happening in Ape. You could find his work there. And, they're doing this project together. You can go to the website and see it, and I'll put a link in the show notes. So give it a shot. See if there's any tiers that you're interested in, and donate if you're interested. That's all I have to say. And then I think we could wrap this bad boy up.
Cool.
My name is Bill, and
I'm Mike.
And he's Mike, and I'm Micah, and this was Geek Punch. And you can reach us at Bill@comicbooknoise.com, Micah@comicbooknoise.com, and Mike@comicbooknoise.com. Those are our email addresses. We are at www.geekbrunchpodcast.com. We might be releasing episodes on different schedules now that I have the flexibility, which I like. Like I could release this show today if I wanted to. Derek gave us the capability to just upload the files and do that show notes right away and get it on iTunes as soon as possible. So you might see these released quicker than usual. And what else? We're on the comicforums.com, that where I keep a thread of all the movies I watch, which is a ton of them. And
now it is.
We have show notes on there so you can make comments. We have our Facebook page if you look under Geek Brunch Podcast. And we got DBM00, do_what, and Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter, so look us up there and leave an iTunes review. We got an iTunes review. I'm not on the web page so I could see it, but I know it was from Gail Willis, and thank you for leaving it.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Yes, we appreciate the feedback.
And that's about it. Do you have anything else to add, Bill?
Nope. I think you got it all.
Any movies I should watch on instant streaming? I know you want me to watch
The Horde.
Troll Hunter. Oh,
Troll Hunter and The Horde.
I tried The Horde, dude. I got through 10 minutes and I...
You gotta get past that part. Wait till the action starts. Fast forward.
Is this gonna be another, what do you call it?
No.
Where the payoff is at the very end.
You quit, like, right before the... Like, when the cops go to that drug dealer's place?
Yeah.
Starts right after that's when the zombies start. You almost made it to the zombies. Fast forward to the zombie part.
All right. I got Troll Hunter. I need to watch.
Yeah, Troll Hunter's awesome.
And I need to watch The Horde. Try to get through that. And I'm watching currently Bikini Girls on Ice. on instant streaming, and I'm about, I don't know, 10 minutes in right now.
How's that? Sounds like a masterpiece.
It's a slasher movie, low budget. My kind of movie.
How can you go wrong with that?
It's really stupid because this girl in the middle of the night, you know, she's in her bikini. Well, she has a bikini top and her tight jeans, and she decides she's lost, right? I don't know. She's driving to her friend's house. This is just the first 10 minutes. She drives to her friend's house and stops at this gas station. It looks like it's not even a gas station. It looks like it's this deserted building that nobody ever's lived in. And it has a phone, like a rotary phone, like one of the, you don't see these phones anymore.
Nice.
And there's like nothing, like in the store, there's like nothing. It's like he sells lug nuts or something. I don't know what the fuck. It's almost like a really bad prop and they didn't have time to stock it or something. I don't know. But yeah, she gets into trouble pretty early in the movie, and we'll see where that goes. She ends up on ice in a bikini. But it's a slasher film. But I really need to get a TV where I can instant stream this, because I've been watching instant streaming on just on my computer or my iPad. And I know if I could get it on my TV, on a modern TV, I would watch a lot more while I'm exercising, because there's a lot of interesting horror movie. I mean, of all the genres, I think on Netflix instant streaming, there's a large selection of horror movies.
Horror. Yeah, there are.
And every month you get like some big hit movie to come out. You know, there's, you know, two or three.
With, yeah, bigger name stuff.
Yeah, Limitless is out now. I'd recommend that.
Yeah, I saw that one.
That was good. I like that. It's about a drug that makes you stay awake and use your mind.
Yeah, that was good. I like that one.
And the Dragon Tattoo movies are out. I haven't seen those. I've only seen the motion picture one, and I like that a lot. There's some good shit, man. Ooh, A Red State is on Netflix instant streaming, and I thought that movie was fucking awesome. I thought it was great. There's something called A Zombie Apocalypse. Have you watched that yet?
No, I don't know what that is. Well, obviously, I know it's a zombie movie.
I was just wondering if it was any good. A group of humans who survived a zombie pestilence desperately tried to get to safety on an island off the coast of California. It's got Ving Rhames. So, we'll see. It says my guess for me is I'll like it. After my selection of Bikini Girls on Ice.
That's right. Since you like Bikini Girls on Ice so much.
Yeah, it says, based on your rating, we'll think you'll enjoy these titles. It says, The Last of the Living. I don't know what the fuck that is. Pony, what is this called? Potty Pool? I don't know. Pontypool. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
Its premise is Valentine's Day is off to a bizarre start for a radio shock jock when he runs into a crazed woman on his way to work. And that sounds interesting. I might have to watch that.
Yeah, I think it's directed by someone. Is that directed by Bruce McDonald?
Yes.
Yeah, I like his stuff.
And then the other one they recommended, Boy Eats Girl. So you could see what Netflix isn't suggesting for my time.
I can see what you're into.
Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, at the top of my queue. Oh, shit, it's coming soon. Damn it. My queue has in it right now. Well, I have The Time Traveler's Wife because I have my challenge I have to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I got Human Centipede 2, which has it's not out yet.
Well, it's not streaming yet?
No, I wished it was. It says coming soon. And then Hostel Part 3, Wrong Turn 4, I Spit on Your Grave, The Tomb. I got some normal movie called From Paris with Love, The Book of Eli, Monsters vs. Aliens, and Turok. It's the top of my stack there. I am into the horror genre, as you could tell. Poor Barb.
All right. First, you need to see John Carter again.
Oh, so good.
I'll have to try and get out to see that.
I get half as much as I liked it, because I really liked it.
I have high hopes for it.
It's got a slow kind of start, but the beginning is really necessary. Do you know what I mean? To get to the end.
Yeah, to get to
it. It's really necessary, because the way the beginning ties to the end, you're like, oh, that's fucking awesome. At least that I thought it was. Well done. All right, Bill. Well, I'll talk to you later, and I guess I won't talk to you for another, I don't know, is it 3 weeks? 4 weeks?
4 weeks, something like that.
Yeah. it's vacation season starting, and I guess for you it's spring break.
Yep.
The kids are on spring break. What grade is your kids in right now?
My daughter's in first grade.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just easy at the age where we could pull her out for a while and it doesn't really matter. So.
She doesn't miss any like key.
Yeah, she's lesson. Not gonna. She'll be able to catch up.
Bikini Girls on Ice. All right.
All right. Enjoy Bikini Girls on Ice.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it is the next time we talk.
All right.
And I'll try to watch one of the Troll Hunter or the Horde.
Yeah, I think you'll like them both.
Well, on the Horde, I'm probably going to watch second, because it's like that Satan movie or whatever, Antichrist. I liked it, and I can't say I didn't like it, but God dang, it took me forever to watch.
To get through it.
Yeah, it was painful.
Yeah. So, the Horde doesn't take that. The Horde is completely different than Antichrist.
Yeah, it's subtitled, though, and it's harder for me to get into a movie that's subtitled if I'm not enjoying it.
The Horde, though, once the action starts, then people killing zombies, so
yeah. All right, I'll give it a check. I'll check. Well, I think Keith watched it and liked it.
I know he was going.
I think he did. I think. If I remember correctly, he said, yeah, it was good.
It's got the awesome scene of the woman in the kitchen fighting a zombie, just using her fists and kicking him, just punching it. She's a fist fight with a zombie. It's cool.
does she have success?
Of course. I think she survived that one.
All right. Well, have a good vacation. Well deserved. And enjoy yourself.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
See ya. Bye.
Right, bye.
I love this couple of weekends, see?
Yeah.